and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, bloggers, philosopher kings and queens, Dunkin' Donut employees, poets, cab drivers, that crying guy, the woman who can't sleep and is really upset about it. Good morning to you, and good morning to these two idiots. I got a little email.
From me, Kalo?
No.
Thanks,
Mary. Happy birthday to you, Mark Riley.
Thank you very much.
And Kalo, whatever. After what you said on the Britain, no, I'm kidding. It's nice to see you, Smarty Pants Larson, doing something, probably checking in with the blog. Do you guys still like me? Brendan McDonald, P.W. McDonald, Dan Pashman, of course, was just in here babbling on about something. Yahtzee! Anyways, happy birthday, dude. How's it feel? Do you feel any different this morning?
Yeah, since I had my toe worked on yesterday.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, the big toe.
Yeah, and everything worked out right?
Yeah, everything's okay. I mean, ironically enough, the doctor is an occasional listener to Air America Radio.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of one of those radio guys. He listens to a lot of college radio and stuff. And he really was kind of, like, laid back about what he was going to do. Hey, it's not going to take a minute. And I didn't feel anything after he shot me up. So
yeah,
that
exactly.
Was
the only guy in the world that needs to be put under for toe surgery.
That's right.
Mark Riley, so afraid of needles, like, Doc, knock me out.
Yeah.
I can't even handle the idea of it.
I said, Doc, give me a pair of dark glasses so I don't even have to see the needle, okay? The only thing I saw was when he snapped the scalpel in place. That scared the hell right out of me.
Oh,
but then he said, no, I'm not going to watch. You won't be able to watch this. And before I knew it, it was done.
Dude, my dad, duding today, apparently. Let me just first get this out of the way. The two idiots. I got a little email. Apparently, when we break into new markets, people don't realize we've been on the air for 5 months, and some people are interested in what me and you talk about. And how we've been hanging out and developed some friends. But people just turn us on. They're like, wait a minute. This is not what I expected. I need to email these people immediately and tell them how wrong they are.
Uh-oh.
Please, here, I don't know who this is from. The coward didn't put his name on here. Please, 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 please.
No, that's James Brown.
Please replace that uninformed Yahoo Mark Maron. Hello, that's me. Yes, he makes fun of his audience. Yeah, dummy. He drivels on and on and on about his cats, his neurosis, ad nauseum, ad infinitum. Does anyone really think that he connects with anyone but himself? Yes, I think I connect to many people, including myself. Are you trying to help Kerry get elected by me talking about my, or Bush? Are you trying to get Kerry elected or Bush? Yeah, by me talking about my neurosis and my cats and everything, that's just some secret agenda to get Bush connected.
Yeah, those,
you know,
all-important swing voters are just going
to
go.
So since you didn't put your name on here, I can't really address it to you, but catch. There you go. Anyways.
Ooh, that hurts.
Isn't that bad? How horrible of me to do that to my audience. I apologize, man. Get up. Get up. Get up. Anyways, the thing is, no. Dude, I understand what you're saying. Look, I annoy me too sometimes. So all I can say is see ya. Thanks for coming by. Here's the other one. I guess you don't read listener feedback. This is
yes, we do.
I love this attitude. Sort of like, clearly you didn't take it seriously when I told you how to run your show. So maybe if I write another email, you'll listen. This guy, again, a coward who didn't put his name on it. I guess you don't read your listener feedback or you don't care. Mark Maron does not listen. or you don't care, or Mark Maron does not listen. I have to pull the plug on this program. No, you're leaving? Why, what's the problem, dude?
Oh, I guess we're going to flatline now.
I can't listen to that same idiotic chant. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. Maron is an idiot who needs new material.
Hit it! Hold on. Hit it!
Hold on.
Hit it!
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Yeah.
See you later, dummy.
Have a nice afternoon.
I hope I didn't annoy you.
Good morning, everyone else.
Yes, it's nice to see you. It's not about repeating or having not having new material, as you know, people who listen and enjoy our show. We have new material every day. That's what we call a little radio tag thing that we put on the little toy.
That's right.
That's how radio works, dummy. I'm using the standard dummy.
No.
Maybe I should. Also, quickly, where am I? What am I doing? Oh, I wanted to do this. Oh, yeah. Jet diverted after singer is found on no-fly list. U.S. security officials Tuesday diverted a Washington-bound United Airlines flight and detained Yusuf Islam, formerly known as the pop singer Cat Stevens. after discovering that he had been allowed to board the plane in London, even though he was on a government's no-fly list. Cat Stevens,
wow,
on the no-fly list, but in heavy rotation on the classic hits list. So,
ooh, well, baby, it's a wild world.
Well, that's the deal. It's like they stopped him, I guess. Islam was questioned in Bangor, Maine by customs and border protection agents. Dennis Murphy, spokesman for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, said Islam is scheduled to be deported today on a flight to Europe. Why didn't you just go, wait, I'm being followed by a moon. That was me, man. That was me. Ooh, baby, it's a wild world. That's mine. See, you're singing along. I'm him. Come on, man. Let me in, dude. I gotta go to the mosque. Come on.
Oh.
They sent him right back.
Yeah.
Like he's going to hurt anybody. This dude wrote some of the greatest songs ever. Granted, he's kind of an ass.
Yeah, I would say he's not. You know, he's endorsed a few things that ought not have been endorsed.
Like Al Qaeda?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, look, there is.
Oh, very young. Come on, man.
Can people be free to speak in this? I mean, look, maybe he's dangerous. Maybe he had a bomb in his shoe like Richard Reed. I don't know. But it would seem to me that, you know, if the guy was thoroughly checked out, I get very nervous about these no-fly watch lists.
Man, you know, some of that stuff, some of those Cat Stevens songs I remember from like seventh grade, and I listen to them now and they make me cry.
My older brother first turned me on to Cat Stevens. When Wild World first came out, my brother had an advanced copy of it for some reason. And the guitar riff was just so strange. I fell in love with the song based on that little da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That part
I love. Yeah. He wrote some beautiful songs. Here we got the rules for the Kerry and Bush debates. Some of these are real, some of these aren't, and I defy you to figure out what these are actual rules. They were negotiated by James Baker Satan III, who they bring in to whenever they need to do something really nasty on the legal level. But anyways, here are the rules. 90 minutes for debate, at least 16 questions in each debate, 2 minutes for responses, no camera shots of candidates reacting to each other, candidates cannot approach each other, no direct questions to each other, no height-adding devices.
Mr. Bush?
Yeah. No TV camera shots from behind, no touching, no touching from behind, no crotch stuffing, no overt displays of education. Candidates must limit words to 4 syllables or less, no notes, charts, or other writings, no finger puppets because of, you know, what happened with Nixon, no props. No smoke machines or laser effects. Now, this is going to change the debates without the smoke machines and laser effects. Candidates cannot arrive on stage to music from 2001. So you got to scratch that, GW. Each candidate will use his own makeup artist, and candidates may not wear Kiss makeup.
Wow. Does that mean that if they had, like, a house makeup person, someone would end up looking bad? Is that what they're afraid of?
I don't understand that. I don't know what it is. What's wrong with Bush's eyes? Who did his makeup? Why does he have mascara on? Now, I want people to know this. This is for my own well-being and for your well-being. And what I also want to say, why don't you say what you're going to say before you say what you're... Okay, here we go. Yeah, I got some... This is from something we compiled here called Polls Are Dumb. All right? Now, I just want people to know Bush and Gore changed leads 4 times between Labor Day and Election Day in the last election. 4 times. And people weren't freaking out as much because it didn't seem like it was going to be the end of the world. So clearly, because the world and the future of it sort of is hinging on this election, the free world, that is, the true free world, people are freaking out. But it happens. These polls, the truth of the matter is, they're tied. That's it. It's coming down to 3 states. What is it? Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio. There's your election. That's it. The electoral votes of those 3 states, that's all that's left, really. At one point in October, Bush led Gore by 13 points. 13 points. So let's not freak out, I'm telling myself with confidence. The final poll taken before the election showed Bush with a 2-point lead. Gore made up those 2 points and got more people to vote for him than Bush. And as you recall, won the election.
Yes.
Yeah. Reagan trailed Carter by 8 points in October. In the final poll before the election, he led Carter by 3 points, which was within the poll's margin of error. Reagan won by 10 points. So basically the point of this is that these polls really mean nothing. It's pretty much a dead heat. It's going to come down to 3 states, and it's going to come down to you registering to vote. So please register to vote. You can go to declareyourself.com. You can go to morningsedition.com, where it says register to vote, and do it, because the popular vote does matter. Even if you live in a state that you think it doesn't matter because it's going to vote for a specific candidate, or you're not. It doesn't matter. Just vote. Just do it. Exercise. You're right. I'm not trying to be preachy here, but why not do it? I've been that guy. I'll register tomorrow. What day is it? November 5th.
Yeah.
Oh, did I miss the whole thing?
Game over.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important. So, and coming up in the next hour, or not in the next hour, but in the next segment, Mark Riley.
Yes.
Since Iraq is clearly out of control.
Way out of control.
There was another beheading, awful, tragic stuff. Zarqawi took responsibility for it. This guy is a very evil man.
Yes.
And we don't know a lot about him. And we have a guest coming up who is the Arab World correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. He's going to be on the phone, actually, from Cairo. His name's Dan Murphy, and he's going to really sort of fill us in about who Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is, who he is in his world, and you know, who he is as far as, you know, in the terrorist hierarchy. Clearly, he's the main guy responsible for these beheadings and for
yes.
all this.
And we need to know who he is, not because we're curious, but because if you're going to fight this sort of thing, you have to know who you're fighting and
yeah.
what that person's agenda is. Can't win without it.
And also, after, because of the time, we need to take him, you know, right away to talk to Dan Murphy. And then after that, we are going to, you know, deconstruct the president's, you know, sort of the thinly veiled, desperate plea for help from the international community that he alienated. We'll be back in a second at 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone. We guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Your team takes possession and races toward the end zone. The roar of the crowd is deafening. Except to you. Because you are the team mascot.
Hey, guys.
And inside your big furry suit.
It's real hard to see out of this thing.
The game sounds just a little bit different.
Guys?
The NCAA on Sirius. Get in on the excitement. Go to Sirius.com for the full broadcast schedule.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Here's an important food safety rule to keep in mind. It takes thorough cooking to kill harmful bacteria. Check your food for doneness, especially meat and poultry, with a food thermometer. Because food safety is important. Don't take chances. Cooking food thoroughly is a simple way to keep you and your family healthy. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Hey, you guys. guys. It's 20 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Mark Birthday Boy Riley.
Another day, another dollar.
You're listening to the morning's edition on Air America Radio. We don't have our guests yet. We're trying to get hold of Dan Murphy in Cairo. Sometimes it's difficult when you're trying to call around the world. But I will give a quick cat update. Yeah,
cat update.
These are for my friends who just annoy, and for my friends who care about the cat. Dig this, cat lovers. I trapped the mother last night. She is on her way to the hospital today to get fixed. So goal reached. I've actually, hopefully, I'm successfully controlling the cat problem. The kittens are coming around a bit. I'm handling them, and all is well at the cat household. It's funny, when I made some brownies for Mark Riley last night.
They were wonderful.
And I'm on the phone. I'm talking to the Albuquerque Journal because we're going into Albuquerque now, which is my hometown, which is where my dad lives, and they were writing a piece on me. And I'm talking to the Albuquerque Journal. I'm trying to feed the cats. I'm making Mark Riley brownies, and the place is just a mess. And you know what? I felt like a wife. Whatever that means. I know that might be sexist. I know that might be weird, but I felt like Lucy. It was a Lucy episode.
Not the one where she's trying to do the mass production stuff.
I had cat food all over the place. I had brownies, and I don't know if I got any cat food. Uh-oh. I just realized that there's some cat food in the... I'm kidding, fellas.
No. Thanks, ever.
So let's get on with this. Bush at the United Nations.
How pitiful.
It was ridiculous. And you know what? It was amazing that he looked scared. He looked out of his element. He looked like I could see right through him, and he knew they could see right through him. Kofi Annan said the day before that the war that he unilaterally executed in Iraq was illegal according to international law. And now this guy, you know, was coming up. Our president was standing before them after alienating them, after discrediting them, after, you know, basically spitting in their face, you know, in a very thinly veiled way. Begging for help.
Let me tell you about George W. Bush and the United Nations. The world is a different place, Mark Maron, than it was even 15, 10, 20 years ago, however you want to look at it. And we see nation states turning toward, in some cases, progressive leadership, certainly in the case of Venezuela, in the case of Brazil. Brazil has been marked with dictatorships over, you know, over a period of 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Now they've got an elected progressive guy. A guy used to be a mine worker.
Mm-hmm.
Hugo Chavez, another poor person in Venezuela. The United States hates his guts. What we're starting to see is people connecting. For example, Thabo Mbeki in South Africa, Chavez and Lula in South America, the Western European leaders, and they're all coming together around certain precepts. And one of those precepts is that the world cannot really afford a cowboy state. And America is looking more and more to the people of the world, no matter how we try to avoid it, no matter how we try to invalidate the United Nations, we are looking like a rogue cowboy state by our conduct of the war in Iraq. Now, George W. Bush goes before this group of people who are skeptical of him in the first place, because 2 years ago he essentially turned his back on them and said, hey, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
We're invading. Now he's coming back, and instead of saying, look, you know, maybe we made some mistakes, maybe we, you know, we're acting precipitously, let's see if we can try and repair some of these breaches. No, he comes before the same world body and says, we have struck a blow for freedom and democracy, everything's great in Iraq, and you should help us because we're right.
The amazing thing is that who was he really talking to? Because these people get their own information. These people, all these world leaders are briefed on a day-to-day basis about what's really going on. Certainly the leaders in the Arab world, certainly the leaders who are still part of the coalition are briefed on a day-to-day basis. Who was he really talking to last night? Because, you know, it all seemed like a charade to me. This was something he was doing for the American people.
Bingo. That's exactly what he was doing. And a segment, a subset of the American people, that being his base. His base doesn't trust the United Nations. His base would just as soon see that land over about 10 blocks from here. They'd rather see condos on that space rather than a world body.
Yeah.
These are folks who really believe that America's sovereignty is threatened by the presence of the United Nations, not by America's seeking cooperation from the United Nations, but the mere presence of the United Nations for them means some diminution of America's strength.
Right. We shouldn't have to play by the same rules as all these other mutt countries.
Yeah, and see, now Kofi Annan gets up and says, oh, well, yes, you should play by the rules of the rest of the world. You are trying to impose the rule of law on another country without playing by the rules of law yourself.
No, it's not the rules of Walmart, Riley. It's the rules of liberty and freedom. Maybe you didn't listen
to the
president.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
It's the rules of freedom and liberty that we're trying to impose on other countries. But what you're saying is absolutely true. And the interesting thing I found was that he couldn't come right out and say, like, come on, you guys.
Yeah, come on, help me, will you?
You know, I'm trying to make this look good for everybody. And he couldn't do that. So he sort of tried to kind of guilt them.
Well, yeah, and he even, now this is a body that is not predominantly Christian, but he tried to use biblical imagery in making his case to the United Nations. Let's listen to the president.
I'm confident that this young century will be Liberty Century. I believe we will rise to this moment because I know the character of so many nations and leaders represented here today. And I have faith in the transforming power of freedom. May God bless you.
Transforming power of freedom.
See, that's just a little trigger word for all the people. That turns on the Christian, you know, fanatical Christian.
The antenna come up when they hear
that. I hear God calling.
Yeah.
Transforming power of liberty. But that's not the transforming of power of God. But it doesn't matter. He's our leader. Take us home.
Yeah. And then at the same time, they're hearing in their earpieces, car bomb just killed 6.
Yeah,
in Western Baghdad.
This is the amazing thing, is that he, like John Kerry implied, is living in this fictional world.
In a bubble
of denial, of true, you know, he is certainly an unrecovered alcoholic, but this goes beyond that. I mean, it's a complete denial. You know, and I'd like to hear Kerry's response to that. But why don't we wait until when we come?
Let's do the Kerry bite right now.
The president really has no credibility at this point. And he has no credibility with foreign leaders who hear him come before them and talk as if everything's going well, and they see that we can't even protect the people on the ground for the election.
After we talk to Dan Murphy after this segment, we'll get into the national intelligence estimate, which was consigned by the president, which now he is disregarding to portray his own reality of what he thinks is happening there.
Yeah.
He was and is always a cheerleader, and reality has nothing to do with how he speaks to the American people. When we come back, Mark Riley, you want to take us out here. Dan Murphy's going to be here. We got some other stuff going
on. Yeah, we got Dan Murphy. We've got the president's pom pals. Do I hear Ramon in the background somewhere?
I got to see if I think he might be downstairs. I don't know if he can get in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And of course, we've got the all important liberal agenda as well. So we got a lot on the plate here.
Yeah.
On my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Stay with us. We'll be right back with more here on Air America Radio.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type 1 is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh, McNuggets will fill you up, but they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How does he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. A suicide attacker has detonated a car bomb in a commercial district in Baghdad. At least 6 people have been killed and more than 50 wounded. Also in Iraq, Iraqi authorities say a headless corpse has been found in western Baghdad. The body's identity still not clear. The discovery coming one day after an al-Qaeda-linked group took responsibility for the deaths of the second of 2 American hostages. Back home, President Bush meets with Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf before making a campaign stop in Pennsylvania. The president says U.S. intelligence officials were just guessing about the possibility of civil war in Iraq. John Kerry later asked a crowd if the president's comment gave them confidence that Bush knows what he's talking about. A London to Washington flight with former pop singer Cat Stevens aboard diverted to Maine, the activist singer known as Yousaf Islam on a government watch list, and barred from entering the country. Mike Piazza, Air America Radio News.
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, man, turn on 24th and Skelz is on.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot. I gotta call Sally. Hello?
Hey, Sally, Vince Skelz is on Serious Disorder 24.
Oh, I know, I got it on. He just played some Tom Waits, then into a Lou Reed tune. It was great. Oh, listen, I gotta call Sam.
Hey, Sally, yeah, I know why you're calling. I've got Vin on right now.
Did you catch that interview with Suzanne Vega?
Vin Skelz's Idiot's Delight. Freeform radio at its finest. Turn a friend on. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern on Serious Disorder 24.
This is Earth and Sky. The venom of a poisonous snake is designed to kill its prey, but a bite can be a lot less lethal when it's treated with an injection of antivenin.
Antivenin is a serum that neutralizes a snake's poison. Most antivenins are too chemically complex to be synthesized in a laboratory. Instead, scientists expose an animal, such as a horse, to small amounts of snake venom. This causes its immune system to create antibodies, cells that attack the venom. The scientists remove some of the animal's blood and separate out the protective antibodies.
Bill Haast is director of the Miami Serpentarium. He produces snake venom for life-saving antivenins by milking poisonous snakes, forcing them to release their venom into a beaker. In 55 years, he says he's handled 3 million poisonous snakes. But snake bites happen, so years ago, Haast began trying to build his own immunity.
I started off in 1948 taking minute injections of cobra venom and slowly increased it until I was taking a full lethal dose. And I still do. As a matter of fact, I had an injection this morning.
Haast has been bitten 179 times so far. He says the injections have probably saved his life.
Our thanks to the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation, a private foundation dedicated to advancing research and education in the chemical sciences. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Fire truck! 33 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Mark Birthday Boy Riley all day long.
All day long.
Yes. Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Thank you, Ramon. You okay, buddy? Dude, are you okay? Why are you... Oh, my God. Somebody wake up. He just, like, passed out on the floor. Ramon! Dude!
Jonathan, Dan, get him out of here.
Oh, man. No, it's all right. Let him sleep. He's okay. Cool. He's all cool. Right. He's like, the dude is like, all right, here, he did bring us the president's schedule for today from the presidential palm pilot. Here's what the dummy's doing today. 6:30 a.m. Wake up in New York. Stay on message. Kofi Annan, still my bitch. 7:45 a.m. Meet with the president of Pakistan, Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Tell him, of all the unstable Islamic regimes that could blow up the planet, you're our favorite. 11:35 a.m. Speak at rally, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Assure them that the United States is committed to regime change in Prussia and indeed all of eastern Pennsylvania. 3:25 p.m. Aerial tour of damage from Tropical Depression Ivan, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. Have pilot point out which devastated areas are still undecided. 3:55 p.m. Receive briefing on storm recovery efforts, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. Snicker and promise them a huge downpour of federal aid. Yeah. 4:50 p.m. Speak at rally, Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Assure crowd that you would never call locally brewed Rolling Rock beer warm mule pee like John Kerry did. 5:35 p.m. Speak at rally, Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. Notes, tell crowd if it were up to John Kerry, he would leave the Amish without electricity or modern appliances. 10 p.m. Back in Washington, bedtime. Note, debates coming up. Find out if hurricanes ever hit St. Louis. Wop, 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 wop. Now we shift delicately into Sirius. Two Americans have been beheaded in the past 2 days by the Jordanian militant group led by Abu Musab al-Zakari. The fate of the third British captive remains unknown. Now we have with us Arab World correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor on the phone from Cairo, Egypt, Dan Murphy. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Now, there are many conflicting reports about who Abu Musab al-Zakari is. Can you fill us in? Who is he?
Well, I mean, the basics of who he is are pretty clear. He is a Jordanian, as you say, from the town of Zarqa there. He did kind of go as a jihad tourist to Afghanistan in the late 80s, where he met some people. Spent about 7 or 8 years in jail in Jordan for militant activity in the 90s. And then he went to Afghanistan, where he had his own training camp and sort of set up a rival or competitive organization to Al-Qaeda. And I do believe that he's involved in a number of the terrorist-style attacks in Iraq, and he's become a pretty important figure in the process. But I don't think that he's responsible for everything that he's said to be responsible for. In some ways, he's a composite figure.
Okay, so now are you telling me that he is in competition, that there is some sort of a power struggle within what we're seeing as the terrorist network?
Well, I think, I mean, is there a power struggle? I don't think that it's going to be like Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
But definitely for his own ego, apparently, and because there are some minor differences in what should be emphasized, he has a group that competes for funding. And that has a separate command and control structure from what's, you know, classically referred to as Al-Qaeda. I mean, at this point, you know, most of the really devastating and serious terror attacks in the world aren't being carried out by this entity that we used to call Al-Qaeda. There's a general ideology, sort of Identikit kit stuff available for people to carry out operations. But it's highly fractured and it's highly decentralized.
Dan Murphy, you just talked about differences between Al-Qaeda and Zarqawi's organization, Tawhid and Jihad. What are the differences? Are they ideological? Are they religious? Are they simply tactical?
It seems like it's more tactical and strategic. I mean, you know, in the end, you know, we look at, you know, transcripts of guys that know them that are on trial in Italy, and we kind of listen to unnamed CIA sources, and, you know, it's very hard to know what to trust. But what appears to be the difference is for a guy like Zarqawi, he is very much focused on Palestine and Israel and on Jordan as a consequence, because that's where he's from. It seems that Al-Qaeda has not been tough enough and proactive enough in confronting some of the regimes that he considers godless within the Middle East. And essentially it seems like he thinks he can do a better job. If there are ideological differences, they're probably looking like of a minor nature. You know, so theological that it wouldn't mean much to you and me.
Dan Murphy, what benefit, well, first of all, maybe I should ask a simpler question. There have been a number of relief workers, aid workers, who have been kidnapped over the last several weeks. In some cases, Zarqawi's organization has taken credit for those kidnappings. Can you tell us, A, if you believe that those reports, in terms of attributing responsibility to Zarqawi, have any credibility? And B, what does he hope to gain by, aside from having the aid groups leave, what is gained by kidnapping Italian women, for example?
Well, you know, the same website that's published him taking credit for beheading these two American contractors in the past couple of days has him claiming that he doesn't hold the Italian women. And to be honest, both things are possible. There are lots of insurgent groups in Iraq who have taken hostages. There are lots of people that want to drive foreign contractors and aid workers out of the country, not just Tawhid and Jihad, his group. However, if you look at some of the ideological underpinnings for a guy like Zarqawi, if you go back to Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was the chief ideologue for Al-Qaeda, you know, in his book that he wrote that was released right after September 11th, he talked about essentially the need to target the United Nations, to target aid groups, because in poor and violent societies, he essentially saw Western efforts to improve people's lives as something that would dull people's desire for radical ideological and political change in their societies, and therefore the aid itself was seen as a hostile act. And it's probably that a lot of what we're seeing now is in the same vein. You really don't want to see things get better in Iraq if you're hoping to win a largely disinterested Iraqi population over to this sort of neo-Salafi return to the time of the Prophet approach to government, which is clear that a guy like Zarqawi embraces.
And don't you think that with these beheadings and with his aggressive sort of renegade style that he is taking a different track than the Al-Qaeda, which is sort of a large network that seems very organized? Don't you think that in some of this it's a campaign for Zarqawi to build a following with the extremist type of personality and the younger people that might be attracted to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess you could call him like the Jerry Springer of that whole thing. I mean, he the propaganda value for what he's doing to the people he's reaching out to is great. And the vast majority of Muslims, just like the vast majority of people, are disgusted by these things. But there is this kind of significant minority of people who are very angry and believe in very bloodthirsty tactics. And he's showing that he's sort of the guy that can make stuff happen and grab headlines and give who he sees as the enemy a black eye through fairly low-cost, low-risk activities. So, you know, clearly the savagery of some of these things is motivated because he knows it's going to get him into the press.
Now, in the broader picture, last question, you know, our president is saying that, you know, everything's going just, you know, pretty well there and that, you know, we're going to win this thing. And yet all the military advisors and a lot of other reporters we spoke to have pretty much painted a pretty grim picture. What's your overall assessment of Iraq at this time, Dan Murphy?
Well, I haven't been there for a month now, but, you know, I started going there last September. It only gets worse. It does seem unsalvageable. It has become a global center for the recruitment and training of new members of the global jihad. So in that sense, it's made America more vulnerable, not more safe. And it's very unlikely, you know, just as the U.S. intelligence establishment's own internal assessments point out, that any of the objectives that were laid out at the start of the war will be achieved. We've really given ourselves a black eye that it's going to take a long time to recover from.
Okay, and one quickly. Did you call him at the beginning of this interview a jihad tourist?
In the late 80s, yes.
Okay, I've never heard that term before, and I like it. Thanks for being with us, Dan Murphy. It was great talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, hope we do it again.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Bye.
Now, he had no idea why you asked that question.
Well, I heard him refer to him as
a jihad tourist.
I've never heard that term before, though. It's sort of a
fascinating
purification,
really,
of something very evil in a way. We'll be back and talk about Tom DeLay, who might be going down, kind of. I 43 past the hour. We'll see you in a minute on Air America Radio. Hey, you guys, remember, there are two kinds of Americans, voters and morons. Register to vote through our link at morningsedition.com. Please, please, will you? Thanks.
Sirius NFL Radio, Channel 124, is all football all the time. Hear breaking NFL news and scores 24 hours a day, along with exclusive interviews.
Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
Commentary and analysis from top players and coaches. All-star staff includes Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Dan Reeves, John Riggins, and Keyshawn Johnson. When it's the NFL you want, it's the NFL you can't get. NFL Radio 124.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about the place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
What was your name again, Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or Social Security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Hey, you guys, will you please remember to do something for me? There are two kinds. Hey, you guys, hey, folks, hey, listen, hey, people, do me a favor, will you? Just remember, there are two kinds of Americans. Hey, you guys, remember. Hey, you guys, help me out. Hey, you guys. Hey, f***ers. Hey.
All right, all right, all right. Very funny. What that was supposed to be was a register to vote. 47 past the hour. Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. It's birthday boy, Mark Riley.
Good morning. That was just like some outtakes, folks. Don't think that was a stream of consciousness on Maron's part.
That was the least of it, man. Some of those outtakes from the promos, man. We're gonna. Oh boy, that was the one that was trying to get people to vote. Go to morningsedition.com under register to vote. We got some information for you to get that done. I'm reaching out to you to do it. I know some of you think you don't need to do it, but it'd be nice if you did do it because the popular vote does matter. Polls mean nothing. We've covered that. What else do we need to cover? My cats are fine. I got the mother. The mother is in the process of being fixed. I actually feel like I did something. I facilitated some change in the world. I stopped a problem.
Female castration.
Yeah, what were we just talking about? Oh, okay, let's get into this. Tom DeLay. Three men with close ties to U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay were indicted on Tuesday along with eight companies for illegal fundraising activities in a political action committee formed by the powerful Texan being Tom DeLay. This must have been in the sort of rezoning, the redistrictification of Texas, the big movement of redefining the electoral boundaries of the state.
That's what the Travis County District Attorney, Ronnie Earl, I assume no relation to Steve or Jim.
Or Ronnie Earl, the guitar player from Boston.
Oh, yeah. Well, he says, quote, "What has emerged is the outline of an effort to use corporate contributions to control representative democracy in Texas." And that, end quote. That's exactly what you're talking about, Mark.
Yes.
This money came from organizations or from corporations that wanted to see to it that the Republican Party had the ability, which they eventually successfully did, to gerrymander the legislative boundary lines. Because Texas, unlike some other states, Texas has a pretty powerful legislature.
Yeah.
It's used as a political stepping stone by a lot of people, but it has a lot of power in and of itself. They have a relatively weak governor, but a powerful legislature.
And those relatively weak governors sometimes turn out to be relatively weak lying presidents.
Yes, there is a direct line of succession there, isn't it?
But Lyndon B. Johnson was never a governor. He was in the legislature there, wasn't he?
He was in and then he became a United States Senator, and then eventually Vice President. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting guy.
No, but he was never governor of the state of Texas.
These companies, Sears Roebuck and Company, Oklahoma energy firm Williams Companies, restaurant chain Cracker Barrel Old Country Store. How could not that place not be sort of founded in badness? Have you ever eaten there? It's kind of like, you know, a Bennigan's for people who don't admit they're in the KKK.
Yeah, do they have a poster of a guy with an axe standing up?
I've eaten there because sometimes when I go on the road, you know, it's got...
It's the only thing open.
Well, it's one of those places that's, you know, strangely consistent, but tries to create this weird cottagey back home atmosphere, and they've got a little, you know, store in front that sells doilies and jams and, you know, and, you
and
know...
rifles.
Yeah, and rifles and Bibles, and they have a special children's hate menu.
Oh, no, we're going
but, yeah, I'm a, well, I'm a biscuit freak, you know. I mean, if I'm on the road anywhere and I can find, you know, relatively, you know, or seemingly homemade biscuits and gravy, I really love it. But I'm not going to go back there now. The other companies are Bacardi.
No more rum.
I'm not in that. Are you a rum drinker?
Occasionally with a pina colada, but I mean, from now on, I'm going to make sure it's Captain Morgan.
Well, you know, you go ahead and do that, because there's no way you can completely avoid, you know, imbibing in some politically or Republican-owned company, because it's most things.
Now, is that Cracker Barrel, can somebody find out if that is the same company that makes the cheese? Because that is important to me. If Cracker Barrel cheese is back in this kind of foolishness.
Blog alert.
Yes, I'm going straight to Cabot or someplace from Vermont or Wisconsin where normal people live.
Somebody help Riley with the Cracker Barrel problem.
Yeah, not anything racial, by the way.
I'd love Tom DeLay to go down, but I don't think he will. No one seems to go down in this administration, but he is like one of the more frightening of the Grecian formula Christian robots.
Yeah. He wasn't indicted, but that doesn't mean that that some of this may not backwash on him. These are his people. That were indicted. Two of them were accused of taking $190,000 in corporate donations and giving it to the Republican National State Elections Committee, which seems to be a contradiction in terms. The Republican National State Elections Committee? Mm. That's very strange. Now, that committee, by the way, then gave the similar amounts to seven candidates for the Texas, not the United States, the Texas House of Representatives.
Some people in Texas would say that's more important than the United States. Tom DeLay, of course, an ex-bug killer and Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel, my friend, Kraft makes that. 52 past the hour. We'll be back with the liberal agenda in a second.
The following is brought to you by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate.
So this morning, I'm looking into my shaving mirror. My wife's still in bed. And this guy is staring back at me with a mischievous glint in his eye. He looks familiar. So I say, Wild Thing? Is that you? You're back.
Not all medications are for everyone, so consult with your doctor first. Then ask if Viagra is right for you. To learn more, visit Viagra.com.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
You know college football. You want interviews with the top college coaches in the country. You want analysis from the very best in the business, and you want it now. Sirius is now offering college sports radio with the Sirius College Coaches Show. 3 hours of the very best analysis for Saturday's game with Coach Terry Bowden and legendary college announcer Jack Arute.
The Sirius College Coaches Show, 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern, Saturdays on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Dinner time in America. For far too many families, that means it's time for a ketchup soup. When you've got nothing else to feed hungry mouths, you take boiling water, add half a cup of ketchup, and presto, ketchup soup. Because when kids are hungry enough, they'll eat anything. 1 in 5 American children is living with hunger. Sometimes ketchup soup is the best their parents can do. To fight child hunger, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS. The sooner you believe it, the sooner we can end it. Brought to you by the Ad Council, America's Second Harvest, and Feeding Children Better.
It's the Sirius Dog Days of Summer Sweepstakes.
And we're giving away a 2005 Larson Stanley Sport Boat.
Fully loaded with Sirius.
For all the details and entry form, just go to Sirius.com.
No purchase necessary.
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Valid in the 48 contiguous United States only.
Ends online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, September 30th, 2004.
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson.
Or select Larson dealers.
Void where prohibited.
Studies show that over time, anabolic steroids can indeed take a heavy toll on a person's health. Abuse of oral or injectable steroids is associated with increased risk for severe liver problems, including hepatic cancer. People who share needles or use non-sterile injection techniques can also put themselves at risk for contracting dangerous infections. For more information about the harmful effects of anabolic steroids, please go to drugabuse.gov.
Go, 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 go
5 past the hour.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
George Bush. I really believe, Mark Riley, that Karl Rove is responsible for planting the Killian memos. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know much about this guy. The Texan guy, the National Guard.
Burkett.
Burkett. But I got a bad feeling about him, too. The whole thing smells and stinks. I want to try and get Jim Moore on tomorrow, the guy who wrote Bush's Brain, because this just reeks of a classic Karl Rove plant.
Well, one of the big stories that's circulating in political circles, not just here in New York, but across the country, and especially inside the Beltway, is the idea that Roger Stone, the wily political operative who can trace his beneficiaries all the way back from Richard Nixon all the way forward to Al Sharpton, is somehow involved in this. Now, he has denied. He said he draws the line at forgeries. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. The thing is that all these Nixon lackeys, O'Neill too, the Swift Boats guy, all these guys, it's amazing how many, Jim Baker III, all these guys that have been around the Republican Party for years that do their dirty business, and we all know how dirty that can get. And somebody asked me in an interview yesterday, how come, where's the Democratic, Karl Rove? And the truth of the matter is, Democrats, because of their sort of open-minded and the broader base of their ideology, we encompass more points of view, and unfortunately we're not narrow-minded or contemptuous enough in some respects to have a guy that's that evil a genius. We, there's a little more dignity in the liberal progressive democratic triad.
Absolutely. And the central question remains, where was he?
Who?
Bush!
I know.
You can take the Killian memos, all that stuff, put it all together. The same question remains, where the heck was he?
Never takes responsibility for anything. Here we go. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. One, to protest Cat Stevens being detained by airport security, call up oldies stations and request songs from his heavy Islamic period. Two, devise presidential debate format that isn't so confrontational. Oh. Three, forge damaging memos about Kerry, leak them to Fox, then wait for them to misreport your forgery. There you go. That's clever. Four, protest satellite photos of hurricane damage sites for violating the privacy of alligators and manatees. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, you don't think the Republicans can stage a hurricane whenever they want? Wake up, man. End quote. What do we got? What do we got next hour there, Mark?
In the next hour.
Birthday boy, Riley.
Thank you very much. In the next hour of Morning Edition, former CIA officer Larry Johnson, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, You on the Phones, and The War on Brains, all here on Air America Radio.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Everyone knows what happens when we join together. We get stronger. That's why community groups like the PTA, clubs, and even faith groups can do so much for our community, especially fighting to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups even stronger? It's called a community coalition. A community coalition helps local groups get together and fight to keep kids away from drugs. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council. Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. A grand jury has handed up 32 indictments for an alleged scheme to make illegal campaign contributions through a political action committee associated with House Republican leader Tom DeLay. DeLay, who was not charged, accused the prosecutor of using the investigation for political purposes. A Travis County grand jury indicted three political operatives and eight companies alleging campaign finance violations related to corporate money spent in the 2002 legislative races. The corporate donations were made to Texans for a Republican majority, a political action committee created with the help from DeLay. John Kerry says President Bush wants to rip off the nation's seniors. Kerry campaigns in Florida today. He'll be quoting a University of Chicago study that financial and investment companies would reap billions of dollars in fees from individual retirement accounts the president wants to create. Kerry says the president's idea would privatize Social Security and would cut benefits for seniors. This criticism comes after Kerry repeatedly attacked the president's handling of the situation in Iraq. Officials are still trying to positively identify a headless body found in Iraq. The U.S. Embassy confirms the body discovered in western Baghdad has been handed over to American officials. The body was found a day after an al-Qaeda-linked group claims it had killed a second American hostage construction contractor, Jack Hensley. A video posted on an Islamic website showed the beheading of American Eugene Armstrong. After a meeting with President Bush, Iraqi Prime Minister Alawi condemned the latest atrocity.
The barbaric action of yesterday really is unbelievable. It demonstrates how much these criminals are wanting to damage our world, both across in Iraq as well as in the civilized world.
Six more dead and 54 injured after a suicide attacker blew up a car bomb outside a photocopy shop in western Baghdad. The attack took the lives of Iraqi National Guard applicants headed for a nearby recruitment center. Insurgents have repeatedly targeted Iraqi police and National Guard forces with bombings, mortar attacks, and shootings in a bid to destabilize U.S.-backed efforts for a strong Iraqi security force. Another U.S. soldier has died while on patrol in eastern Afghanistan. That brings the number of U.S. deaths to three this week. American spokesman Major Scott Nelson says the soldier was killed in Khas province close to the Pakistani border. You may remember him as a pop singing sensation for some time. The former Cat Stevens has gone by the name of Yusuf Islam. It seems Islam was on United Airlines Flight 919 from London to Washington when his name came up on a government watch list. His flight was diverted to Maine, where he was met by the feds. A spokesman for the Transportation Security Administration says Islam was interviewed and denied admission to the United States on national security grounds. He said Islam would be put on the first flight available out of the country. Four countries bidding to join the United Nations Security Council have pledged to back each other's efforts. After meeting at the UN headquarters, Brazil, Germany, and India say they'll work together. Mike Piazza, Air America Radio News.
Larry, I can't see you anymore.
What?
You don't have a job, a car, and you live in your parents' basement. You're 43.
I'll be 43 next month.
Grow up, Larry.
I have a boat.
Sure you do.
No, really, it's a Larson Senza sport boat. Yeah, that's it. A sport boat. Yeah, and it's fully loaded with Sirius.
Win a 2005 Larson Senza sport boat in the Sirius Dog Days of Summer Sweepstakes. For all the rules and how to enter, go to Sirius.com.
Snap out of it. And how'd you pay for this? You can't buy a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Idiot.
This is Earth and Sky. Tatiana Irvine in New York City wants to know, can a lost bee become accepted into a new hive?
Tatiana, bees don't get lost very often. They're expert navigators. Studies have shown that bees navigate by keeping track of their net direction and distance from home. They use the sun as a reference point for direction. And to measure distance, they monitor the flow of visual input from the ground whizzing by. Plus, they notice how much energy they use on a trip.
Each bee colony has its own distinct scent. The scent comes from a range of factors, including the food the bees eat, the location of the hive, and even the ratio of adults to larvae. Still, if a bee does get lost, it can be accepted into a new colony. Honeybee colonies have guard bees posted at their entrances to ward off strangers. When a guard bee approaches a lost bee who wanders in, the lost bee can adopt a posture that signals it means no harm. The lost bee is usually accepted, especially if it has some nectar or pollen to offer.
Once a lost bee is accepted into a new colony, it lies low for a while and absorbs the scent of its new location. After a few days, the bee smells like the rest of the colony and becomes an indistinguishable colony member.
Tatiana, thanks for your question, and with thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Yeah, good morning.
There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, yep. Reichmarks, rands,
yep.
Rubles,
yes.
Pounds, and shekels.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet.
I'll say, Mark Riley, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you
happy
very much.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mark Riley. Happy birthday to you.
I'm getting old. What can I tell you? I'm getting old, man, but I'll be all right.
We're all going to be all right. My birthday's next week.
That's
we're
right.
Kayla, how you doing, man?
Good, baby.
You're Kayla. Taking me to, you're, we're going. We're all going to Riley's, right, next yeah. week? Smart Pants Larson in the booth, P.W. McDonald back there. You know, some of you listen to the whole show, all 3 hours of the show. God bless you. If you want to jump in on the blog, blog away at morningsedition.com. But we are going into some new markets. We picked up Albuquerque. We picked up Ann Arbor. We're picking up Phoenix, which is great because my brother can listen.
Oh, yeah. Is he a Republican? Is he a Republican?
No. My brother's just, he's depressed. No, my brother has no time for politics. He's up to his neck in his own personal affairs. But I'm getting some emails. There's a couple I want to address. I already addressed them in the 6 o'clock hour, and if you listen to the whole show, bear with me because this is kind of eating at me. Not in a big way, but I want people to know, some of our new listeners who are writing in with their opinions, you know, how, you know, that we'll respond to them, you know. Like, I guess, here's one. I guess you don't read listener feedback, or you don't care, or Mark Maron does not listen. I have to pull the plug on this program. I can't listen to the same idiotic chant. Why don't they talk about the issues we're fighting for our lives? Maron is an idiot who needs new material. Well, there's a couple things I want to say to you. First,
if you have any question about what John Kerry...
How about no? Let's not do that one. Let's try another button.
Why don't they talk about the issues?
You know what? I just screwed up my machine. Here I was. I set up for this big blast on this guy, and I screwed up my machine. Look at it. What's going on with that? Oh, you just hit that button, and I can, like, oh, good. Well then, guess
hit
what?
It.
Here, this is for you, nameless coward.
Why don't they talk about the issue? We're fighting for our lives. Why don't they talk about the issue?
And also, you idiot, see you later. Thanks for listening. Here's another piece of email. Please, 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 please replace that uninformed Yahoo Mark Maron. First of all, I don't mind being called a Yahoo, but I'm deeply informed. If you think I'm a Yahoo, Yahoo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's okay with me. I don't mind being a Yahoo. He makes fun of his audience. No, I don't. Just you, stupid. I love that. Here, catch. Oh, did you get it? Yes. But he dribbles on and on and on about his cats. By the way, I did was successful in...
catching the mother.
Caught the mother. I'm going to put a cap on this problem. I'm very excited about it, that I held the course. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy because I'm not good. When I got the mother into my apartment in the cage, I felt so bad for it because it wouldn't eat. It was completely freaked out. You know, and I just sort of like...
Wouldn't eat?
Well, no, because it's I just captured it into a cage. I tricked it into a trap with the sardines. You know, what a disappointment that is. Like, wow, fresh fish. You know? And then thank God this woman Raquel is going to take care of it. She's a cat rescuer, and that's that. That's good. So let's get into the real news. And oh yeah, the other guy, the guy who wanted to replace me. You know what? You can go ahead and leave. You can go to another channel. I have no problem with that at all. Because then he asked, does anyone really think that Mark connects with anyone but himself? I do. I connect. I have four cats at home that need me desperately. Right now they're wondering where I am. And also, like, I have a lot of people in my life that, yeah, I'm, you know what I guess I'm saying is I appreciate your concern, but you can leave, stupid. Okay. Now onward into the news, Mark Riley.
Bush!
Yeah, Bush at the UN looking scared, you know, trying to sort of, obfuscate his desperation to try to get people to trick people through guilt into helping him out after he completely defied them and after Kofi Annan yesterday said, you know,
you need to abide by the rule of law.
Yeah, by the rule of international law. And of course, Bush is like, well, I answer to a higher law.
There we go. And this is exactly what our president had to say. And he did use a little imagery.
They were just, guessing as to what the conditions might be like. The Iraqi citizens are defying the pessimistic predictions. The Iraqi citizens are headed toward free elections.
Yeah, that was Bush talking about the National Intelligence Estimate. The NIE is actually compiled by the heads of all the government's intelligence agencies.
And he commissioned it, basically. He said, do this. And this is, like, approved by John McLaughlin, who's the acting CIA director, and he heads, you know, and the head of the other intelligence agencies, all of what you just said, the FBI, everybody else. He said, you know, bring it. You know, he got it in July.
Yes. And it was not good news. It said a worst-case scenario could see Iraq descend into civil war. It was pessimistic about the possibility of elections. It was pessimistic about the training of Iraqi troops. The NIE, in fact, said that of 32,000 Iraqi policemen that had been procured since the transfer of power in June, none of them had received full training.
And this is and Bush is basically saying by saying, you know, it was a guess. A pessimistic guess, is that sort of what he's saying? But this is something that, you know, this is the intelligence community that, you know, he's supposed to be, you know, in charge of and looking over and making sure is updating itself. And what was your speculation earlier?
My speculation was that Bush is, in essence, contradicting himself. What he's saying here is that the intelligence community has strayed off message. In other words, my message is everything's going well in Iraq, and here comes this intelligence estimate that says, well, things aren't going that well. Remember, this is happening against the backdrop of George W. Bush not being proactive in trying to take some of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission about changes in the intelligence community. Now he's taking the existing intelligence community and saying, in essence, well, hey, they don't know what they're talking
about.
See,
if it were like the old days, pre-9/11, he could have just bullied them into giving him the intelligence that he wanted so he could do what he wanted to do, which is what got us into this mess in the first place.
Too much scrutiny now.
Yeah, is that, you know, he was able to manipulate George Tenet into, you know, building a case to go into Iraq that was fabricated, that was built on faulty intelligence. You know, he was able to, you know, basically, you know, guilt these guys and scare them politically into giving them what he wanted, and now they're not doing it because their asses are on the line.
That's right. And see, John Kerry now, and Mark, we've talked about this before, John Kerry's not letting them get away with this kind of stuff anymore. John Kerry is speaking directly to the things that Bush said both to the United Nations and later when he was answering questions after a meeting with Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi. Here is John Kerry's response to George W. Bush.
This president avoided approaching this in responsible ways, and it's a tragedy. He now has an opportunity to lead and pull this together, but he seems to be in denial. He doesn't want to admit what even Prime Minister Alawi admitted yesterday. Terrorists are pouring across the border, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the Prime Minister of Iraq said.
Dude, isn't it weird? Like, we've been saying this for months, and there's part of me, like, we've been talking about how terrorism is worse, how it's a, you know, it's become a terrorist manufacturing point for months, and Kerry's picking up on it, and I've had these moments where I'm watching TV, and it's like, I'm just sort of waiting for him, and I'd like to thank Mark Maron at Air America Radio for helping us out and giving us this information.
That'll be election night when he wins.
Sorry, Mark and Mark, it took us a while to get on board with what you were saying, but we certainly appreciate it. And what did Richard Pearl say? Hey, Kalo. You got number. Number five. What's your number five? Maybe not. Perhaps.
A year from now, I'll be very surprised if there is not some grand square in Baghdad that is named after President Bush.
No, Richard, there's a quagmire mess of chaos that is named after George W. Bush.
Now, he said that a year ago today. It was September 22nd, 03, he said this.
It's unreal. Those guys just thought they were just, you know, these, you know, little philosopher king evils. You know,
the neocon cabal.
The neocon Republican death cult. We're gonna get into this intelligence issue and talk about the intelligence community with Larry Johnson, who's a former CIA analyst. Up after this, among other things. And we have a dream diary, too, so we'll talk to you in a minute. It's 16 after on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com, where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
Hi, this is Steve Irwin reminding that your vote does make a difference.
And it's going to affect you for the next 4 years. I'm Jane Monheit. Register to vote.
In this particular election, it's going to affect the lives of your children and their children for years and years to come.
Please be vocal. Speak out. Say something. Do something. Register to vote.
What's up, this Shifty? Make your vote count.
If you don't vote, someone else is going to decide your future.
The future's in your hands.
Apathy isn't sexy. This is Jennifer Marks. Register to vote.
Get serious about voting.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Hey,
19 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Birthday Boy Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio's Morning's Edition. I got to stop saying stupid because it's such a tough crowd thing.
Stupid.
All right, stupid. It's contagious, so. Here we go. My therapist, of course, asked me to write down my dreams. Here's my dream from last night. I'm having that dream again where Halliburton bought Air America Radio. I'm the host of the worst radio show ever. Good morning, neocons. This is Mark the Shark Maron with Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up. It's 20 after the hour here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, spending your money our way. Hey, Dan Rather, Bush National Guard documents turned out to be phony. Is your show still called 60 Minutes or maybe 59 Minutes or maybe 61 Minutes? The liberal media lies so much, I'm not sure anymore. You're a liar and you're old and you lie, old lying liberal person. It's 21 and a half after the hour. Let's take a call. You're on the air, caller. The real liberal feminazis, gotta hate them. They're liberal. Whoa! USA! USA! Come on, caller, let's tell them some liberals. Woohoo! There's one. Get him! Yeah, throw that pinko on the grill. We're having a liberal barbecue tonight. I'll have mine medium rare. It's 22 and a half after the hour. Hey, President Bush is up in the polls. Four more years. Four more years.
Game
four
over, years. Man.
That's game, right, game over. What's the matter, liberals? No votes? Tell your sad story to Osama, pinkos. My name is John Kerry, and I'm a wiener. Let me tell you something. When George W. Bush wanted to be a war hero, he started his own war. Now that's the president. It's 23 and a half after the hour now for Neocon Power Weather Forecast. It's sunny and 72 degrees. Perfect day to cross a picket line and take a job away from some ungrateful foreigner. Now let's go to the traffic copter. Remember, if you see Al Sharpton crossing the street, speed up 50 points. Oh my God, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I woke up and my bed was filled with SpaghettiOs. Wow, that's quite a transformation I have to make to do that.
Ooh.
All right, right now, former CIA analyst from 1989 until October 1993, Larry Johnson served as a deputy director in the U.S. State Department's Office of Counterterrorism. He joins us now. Good morning, Larry.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Larry.
So, Larry, what do you think of George Bush last night at the U.N. just sort of dismissing the intelligence national intelligence estimate as some sort of guesswork?
Tell you what, yesterday was a case in point of how politicized the intelligence is. What I've talked about in the past about pressure and politicization. When you've got the president basically rejecting the community's judgments, this is exactly how we got into the war in Iraq, where, I can't believe he would be so blatant about it, but at least, the truth's out there now.
So you're saying the reason we got into the war in Iraq was that he only took the intelligence that he thought was would enable him to take the unilateral decision that he made, and he sort of bullied it out of George Tenet.
Well, he didn't so much bully it out. He just sent the message very clearly to the community. If you don't give me the message I want, I'm not going to listen to you.
So how's the community reacting now, do you think?
Well, I think with resignation from the standpoint of they're just, they've seen that this guy does this over and over again and so far hasn't suffered any consequences. The only hope is that, he ends up getting his rear end kicked in November.
Mm-hmm. Larry, why would George W. Bush reject this information from the intelligence community? At the same time, he seems to be, if not blocking reforms recommended by the 9/11 Commission, but certainly not taking an activist role in seeing to it those reforms take place.
When you live in a fantasy world, you have to reject everything that disrupts that fantasy, candidly. I mean, this was so outrageous. I'm amazed by the fact that most of the media is just sort of sitting there shrugging their shoulders going, oh, well, maybe the intelligence community doesn't know what it's doing in this case. This is why we've got some men and women dying over in Iraq.
Doesn't this mean that Bush is basically admitting that he's failing to fix the intelligence problems?
No, he doesn't admit anything. He doesn't make mistakes. You've got it wrong there, Mark.
You're right. Must obey. Must obey.
Larry, what do you've worked in the CIA and counterterrorism offices. What would you like to see done as reforms?
Candidly, I think what we need to do is cut spending for the intelligence community, for starters. It's way too bloated. It's too big.
But wouldn't that be political suicide when everybody's focusing on intelligence?
No, that's what we need is some people that are going to do some smart things as opposed to just posture for politics.
Is Porter Gotz that guy?
No, Porter's not, unfortunately. You know, here he's been in the top seat for the intelligence reform, at least on the House side, for the last 6 years and didn't do anything. And he was better positioned than probably anybody, having been a case officer out at this agency. And instead of leading the calls for reform and proposing things that should be done, he shied away from it and really was inactive over the six-year period that he sat at the top.
Now, he sailed more or less through the Senate Intelligence Committee. Do you anticipate he sails through the full Senate?
Yes. Now, he's going to be... unfortunately, none of the Democrats have the guts to stand up and, you know, challenge him on this, so they're just going to let it go. So this, you know, this is, again, why we have some of the problems we do. When it comes time or you have the opportunity to make a difference, people just take a pass and go on with, you know, Washington is the, you know, the old insider boys club here.
If he's going to oversee, if how effective would an intelligence arm be at really thwarting future terrorist attacks? I mean, are there drawbacks to the position? Is it possible?
No. The reality is, I think there's a lot of myths surrounding what went on in the intelligence community. It was really not so much a problem that we didn't penetrate Al Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember the FBI had an informant out in California who was hosting two of the terrorists.
I can't believe some of the oversights that were made. I mean, I've been reading this thing called the Terror Timeline and some of the 9/11 reports, and it's just like the amount of information that they knew but they just couldn't bring together is just mind-blowing.
But the reason they can't bring it together is these bureaucracies are so big,
right,
and there's no accountability.
Right.
And here's what you've had under Bush, that when people make mistakes, nobody suffers.
How about careerism? How much is that at fault, that intelligence operatives, you know, do not want to get caught in a place where they might hurt their career?
Oh, no, that's been, you know, the effect caused by, I'll call it, lack of Senate oversight, or in the past, Senate and
mm-hmm.
and representatives overreaction to issues where they punish the CIA for taking risks. So people become very, you know, nobody wants to stick their neck out. They become very cautious, and they say if you don't do anything, you can't get punished.
You can't have caution in the world of espionage, Larry.
Not supposed to.
That's right.
You're supposed to be smart about it.
Right.
But, you know, the risk-taker, the age of risk-taking is long past us.
Former CIA analyst Larry Johnson is our guest. Larry, real quickly, what do you think is going to happen if or when the Senate and the House get ready to deal with some of these 9/11 recommendations, specifically the one about a kind of intelligence czar, and perhaps giving up some of the authority that some of the traditional committees in Congress have had? Is that going to play out differently, for example, than the turf battles within the intelligence community about these reforms?
That's probably the most critical reform that has to take place, forcing Congress itself to change the number of committees involved with oversight, to get them down to whether you actually have one or two that will hold the agency accountable. And the reason Congress won't give that up is because when you're a committee chairman up on the Hill, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, that's your ticket to go out and raise funds. If you're a chairman, you can be a big fundraiser. And when you're raising funds, that's how you stay in Congress. So this is about their own political survival. And
wow.
Well, that's the one reform that needs to take place. I think that's the one that won't happen. And if you don't get that, really the problems that would ultimately fix the intelligence community will probably never come to pass.
Wow. Dad, thanks for all that information, Larry. Really good talking to you again.
Appreciate it, Larry.
All right, guys. Take care.
You take care. Wow.
Coming up next, Iraq, Birth of a Nation. You on the telephones at 866-303-2270. And Mort Milfington with the War on Brains as we continue here on Air America Radio.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for a second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. A grand jury has handed up 32 indictments for an alleged scheme to make illegal campaign contributions through a political action committee associated with House Republican leader Tom DeLay. DeLay, who was not charged, accused the prosecutor of using the investigation for political purposes. John Kerry is charging that President Bush wants to rip off the nation's seniors. Kerry, campaigning in Florida today, says that according to a University of Chicago study, financial and investment companies would reap billions of dollars in fees from individual retirement accounts the president wants to create. Kerry says the president's idea would privatize Social Security and would cut benefits for seniors. The U.S. Embassy says officials are working to positively identify a headless body discovered in Baghdad. Today's find came after a militant group claimed yesterday that it had killed a second kidnapped American, Jack Hensley. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
You know college football. You want interviews with the top college coaches in the country. You want analysis from the very best in the business, and you want it now. Sirius is now offering college sports radio with the Sirius College Coaches Show. 3 hours of the very best analysis for Saturday's game with Coach Terry Bowden and legendary college announcer Jack Arute.
The Sirius College Coaches Show, 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern, Saturdays on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. While some states are singing in the rain, others are drowning in drought. Want to keep your car looking spiffy without breaking county water restrictions? When I come back, I'll tell you how. Hi, this is Bobby Ligas. Your body relies on antioxidants to stay healthy. So does your vehicle. Oxidation in fuel and oil creates deposits. That means clogged injectors and sludge in your engine, causing costly breakdowns. Your service shop can reverse oxidation in your vehicle by adding BG's MI 3000 Plus and MOA at your next oil change. Ask your shop about BG products or go to bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
Counties often respond to drought by placing restrictions on personal water uses like at-home car washing and lawn watering. While this helps the water crisis, it can leave lawns and cars in the dust, literally. Now, I can't help you with a green, but I do know how to keep your car clean and support local business. Visit a nearby professional car wash. These days, full-service companies often recycle the water they use and consume 2 to 5 times less than you would with a hand home wash. Then, when the drought's over, celebrate with an in-the-driveway detailing and a long, cool drink from your garden hose. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
It's fine.
I'm Cat Stevens, man. Let me in. Cat Stevens. Come on.
I was only kidding about that fatwa stuff.
We'll get into that in a minute. 33 past the hour, Mark Maron. It's birthday boy Mark Riley. Call.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
All right.
866-303-2270. The show is Morning Sedition, the network Air America, broadcasting out of New York City. Right now, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 85. Leaders of Iraq. Leaders of Iraq. Leaders of Iraq. All right. First, let me just say I like your spirit. You fight hard, you never give up. And that makes you the ideal weapons-testing guinea pigs. And believe me, Uncle Sam's got enough new weapons to test for at least 2, maybe even 3 more preemptive wars.
Let me tell you about our latest toy. It's a microwave gun that uses high-powered electromagnetic beams to cause pain but not permanent injury. In other words, it'll warm you up like a Swanson's TV dinner. So we'll be killing few of you and hurting more of you. And when you get right down to it, killing isn't nearly as much fun as making you feel small and helpless. Yes, even that small. Here's something you should know about Americans. Coming up with the latest, coolest weapons is something we actually pour our energy into. Americans may be complete screw-ups in other areas, but when it comes to putting an electronic boot up your booty, we're number one. So keep on resisting. It just helps us work out the kinks out of our weapons so they will be perfect when we use them on our own population. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 85 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. Cat Stevens, or as he's known now as Yusuf Islam, stopped in Maine from coming into this country because he's on a no-fly list.
Now, why did the plane was going from London to Dulles, which is down by D.C.? Why did they end up in Maine?
Because, I don't know.
Was he that dangerous?
It doesn't have details about that. But, I'm just, come on, dude. Morning has broke. That's me, man. I'm Cat Stevens. Come on. I wrote great songs. But he is, he's done some.
Okay, so they diverted the plane because he was on it. But, why Bangor, Maine? Why not Boston? Why not Chicago?
Sometimes these flights stop there. He was deported. Two government officials speaking on condition of anonymity said Islam was a financial supporter of groups believed to be linked to terrorism. Well, so was George W. Bush. Islam was deported from Israel in July 2000 because he was believed to be a supporter of Hamas, a terrorist group. He denied knowingly contributing to any militant groups. What happened to that guy? I mean, this is a guy that wrote some great songs, became a religious fanatic,
yeah.
And now, anyways, let's take some calls. Jim in Texas, how are you?
Hey, Jim.
Jim in Texas is fine. This is Jim Moore.
Thank God.
I thought it was Jim Moore. I thought when I saw Jim from Texas, I heard you yesterday, man. You were great.
Man, I called our producer yesterday, and we got to talk to Jim Moore. Tell me this Killian memo thing doesn't stink.
It stinks big time. And it's starting to stink more and more of Rove. Did you all see the note in the New York Post yesterday about Roger Stone?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's refusing to step away, and then Burkett starts talking about how he gets handed these documents in Houston after he gets this anonymous phone call in Texas. I mean, it's got all the cloak and dagger nonsense.
This stinks of Rove just because, as you wrote about in your book, Bush's brain, specifically the pattern that he has in planting things. That there was suspicion about him planting a bug in his own office and blaming on a Democratic rival to make them look bad. And even if it turned out not to be true, it puts a stink on everything.
Yeah, and it wasn't true, and it did put a stink on it. But you have to ask the question. If you look at the way this guy works, every single election there's some sort of nonsensical distraction like this that comes along. Look at the first debate against George W. Bush and Al Gore. Remember the tape gate, we called it, the tape that mysteriously appeared at Gore's headquarters, that was a tape of Bush practicing and and it completely distracted from the debate. The same thing with the bugging, and it goes all the way back to a U.S. Senate race in Texas involving Alan Dixon when Rove was a college guy. He went around and he printed up these phony flyers and distributed them under the L in downtown Chicago and among the homeless. And that night, these flyers that Rove got printed up, they said free food, free booze, free clothes.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, these homeless folks showed up and sort of messed up this guy's fundraiser. I mean, this guy's been doing this forever and ever.
So. Jim, you have dealt with Burkett before, am I right? You've dealt with some papers with him. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a guy who said that he saw the files being purged, George W. Bush's military files being purged at Camp Mabry here in Austin in 1997 as Bush was preparing to run for re-election as governor and was prepping his presidential race. And it's kind of a wild story, but Burkett checked out. I mean, even people... he was given a recommendation to come to Texas by Republicans. One of them was President Bush's, one of his best friends, Jim Francis, and the former Republican governor, Bill Clements. And they all recommended him to come work in the Guard And even people who later ended up calling him a liar had told me previous to when I told them about his story that he was an impeccable stand-up guy with a great reputation. And then all of a sudden I tell them the story, and then they start calling the guy a liar. So, but the people who corroborated it, his story of seeing the files purged, then turned around and said it didn't happen. So, we get lost in this white noise of political skullduggery in this whole thing. And the story, the message in the story all just gets muddied up, and that's what Carl wants, because nobody knows what to believe, and they choose to believe their side in this thing.
Right. They choose to believe the easiest, which is that, those guys are all lying.
Yes.
And also what it does is it distracts from the real issue, which is, the war in Iraq and the economy. And this guy's been doing this for years, and you've known about this.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I think one of the real issues here,
Jim, let's do it after the break. Will you hold on?
Great.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll be right back with Jim Morris. Just called us out of nowhere. This is great. I'm so glad. Well, it's 40 past the hour, Air America Radio.
We wanted to do this really cool promo for Stephen Lynch, comedian, songwriter, uber genius, and play a little of his music for you. But unfortunately, this is all we can give you without offending somebody. So if you'd like to hear the uncensored version, you can catch him September 28th as he debuts his new DVD live at the El Rey, live in our studios. Stephen Lynch, offensively on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy Uncensored.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing.
My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal.
My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Joe DiMassina, the RAD, recording artist, actress, and athlete against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate. Because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can be strong and do anything if we dare to dream.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Got a surprise guest, Jim Moore, on the phone, author of Bush's Grain, longtime Texas journalist, is familiar with these guys and, what they've been up to. And Jim, you were saying the most important thing that we should recognize is what?
Well, I don't disagree with anybody when I say we need to stop talking about these memos and talk about the issues. But these memos are covering up something that I think is important. In to use Bush's distorted lexicon, it's obfuscating something.
Yes.
But look, this guy is running around the country right now, our president, pledging to protect the United States of America. And,
right.
And he took the same oath as a young man, and he broke that oath. You know, he did not live up to his pledge to serve 6 years. He walked away 4 years into it, and now he's saying, well, yeah, but trust me now, I'll continue to protect America. Well, he was on duty when 9/11 happened. He didn't do a very good job of protecting us, and what he's done in Iraq is nothing but created 10 generations of terrorists. And I think it's fair to ask about his behavior in the Texas National Guard and his lack of appearance in the Alabama National Guard, because it goes to his moral authority to send the current National Guard into Iraq. He's sending kids over to die. Now, if the National Guard were activated when he was around, he wouldn't have had to go. Where would his war on terror be today if our National Guard had acted today as irresponsibly as he did back in 1972?
Good point.
So then you see, Jim, a direct tie between the mindset Bush had when he was in the National Guard and the mindset he has as president.
Well, it's a mindset of privilege. It's a guy who doesn't have to worry about anything. He's always had a soft place to fall, you know, I've been dealing a lot with a number of organizations. There's a new organization of families called Real Voices that are, and this group at realvoices.org is angry about the president having sent their kids to die. And I think that he just does not have any sense of a sacrifice. He's disconnected. The guy is able to fall asleep every night and sleep the sleep of a child because he seems to have no moral burden about what he's doing to our country, what he's doing to innocent civilians in Iraq, and what he's doing to families within the United States of America.
Incredibly narcissistic, self-centered, pathological personality.
Oh, yeah, perfect analysis.
Yeah. Hey, now, Jim, do you get out and do you have a presentation you do on the road? Do you take your message out on the road?
I've been going around and speaking, and I've done this for quite a bit. And one of the things I've been lately is I've been taking the film Bush's Brain around.
I saw it. It's great. It's great. Now, how can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to have you come speak? Because I think your message and your intimate knowledge of this stuff is very important.
Well, they can contact me through the website at bushesbrain.com.
Great.
There's a place to log in there and ask for appearances.
That's great. That's great. I really appreciate what you're doing, man.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys having me, and appreciate what you're doing. Keep giving them hell.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. So that was great, man.
Yeah,
great
it was. It was. Now, you know, Jim has been taking a little heat down there in Texas, too.
I know. That's why I wanted to make sure people knew that, they can, get out and spread the message. He has been taking a little heat. We heard a little bit about that.
Yeah.
That he's being sort of iced out, but, he's been fighting a good fight for years, and this is a guy that intimately knows these guys. Now, where are we at? Can we take another call? Oh, we can take a quick call, and I guess we can take one or two after the break, too, or no? No, we got the war on brains. All right, Tom, how are you, trucker, and now in Florida?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, man, I just wanted to wish Mark Riley a happy birthday.
Oh, hey, great. Thank you, man. I appreciate that, Tom.
Also, one of the things, I travel in the entertainment business, moving concerts around. I'm a truck driver.
Uh-huh.
And every place that we've been to, the stagehands to take the stuff off the truck and set the shows up, I can't find anyone that supports Bush. Everyone, almost to the person, is violently opposed to him.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I'm baffled, these polls that keep coming out.
Yeah.
Where they're neck and neck. I mean, the guys I met in Kansas City just a few days ago, I mean, they could care less if he died in office tomorrow.
Wow. Thanks for your call. Well, that's true, and we've been talking about the polls a bit. Most of them are, the truth of the matter is it's neck and neck. It's going to come down to three states, and, poll numbers are turning out to be, BS and mythic, and they're not always founded, forget about them.
We're in late September. The poll that everyone is going to be looking at will take place on November 6th.
And I don't think they're polling roadies.
No, they're not. And, it's funny because my brother was a stage manager for a long time in his life and dealt with a lot of roadies, man. It's a very unique group of people, that's for sure.
All right, man. So we'll be right back. We got the War on Brains coming up. We got other stuff coming up. It's all very exciting. It's 48 past the hour, Air America Radio. I got an idea. Just a reminder, I don't want to pressure you, but you got to do this soon, all right? Register to vote, please. You can do it on morningsedition.com where it says register to vote. Thank you.
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book. Now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
Are Americans better off than we were 4 years ago? In a new national poll conducted by Mother Jones Magazine, a strong majority of registered voters from across the country claim that the United States has gotten pretty seriously off on the wrong track. And half of those surveyed voted for George W. Bush in the 2000 presidential election. Take the poll yourself and view the complete result at MotherJones.com. Also at MotherJones.com, your daily mojo. Every day, the editor of Mother Jones scour the web for the day's most important stories and post them for you online. Mother Jones, strange name for a magazine, but take a look. See what you think.
There he is.
I have a Pontiac Grand Am.
Oh.
I started getting this noise. I guess it would be a combination of a flute and a bass drum.
Perfect harmony. Car Talk. Weekends at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern on NPR Now 106. And noon on Sirius NPR Talk 107.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad, please!
Think of the tremor as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Since Hurricane Charley slammed into Florida on August 13th, the Red Cross has provided refuge to nearly 286,000 residents, served more than 5.6 million meals, and offered mental health services to more than 23,500 disaster victims. All American Red Cross disaster assistance is made possible by voluntary donations of time and money from the American people. Help the victims of the recent hurricanes by making a financial gift to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund and calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with birthday boy Mark Riley.
Hey!
On Wednesday's version of Morning's Edition on Air America Radio, broadcast out of New York City, here in the beautiful state of New York. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the 3-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Thank you, Craig. Dateline, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital for anthrax and other white powdery substances. September 22nd, 9/11. Plus 11. This morning brings more bad news from our brave forces pinned down in the trenches by withering volleys of meretricious rhetoric. Americans are getting stupider and even more worser stupider every year. So stupid that I bet most of you don't even know what meretricious rhetoric is. Hell, I don't even know what it is. And that's exactly my point. According to the highly respected and languorously sexy Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, the United States now stands in 10th place behind other nations when it comes to having a high school educated public. Oh, sure, you'd expect Japan and Korea to do better than us, but Norway and the Czech Republic? Okay, you'd expect them to do better too. And that just proves how bad our system really is. They don't even use real letters. Shameful. Ignominious. And the culprit? Schools, whose budgets fall billions short of the funds needed to provide those basic staples of any good education. Slide rules. Apples.
And beanie hats. Yes, broken promises, insufficient funding, and meaningless testing standards are the fortifications of George W. Bush's No Child Left Behind Act. Here's Sandy Doo. As everyone knows, this country, founded over 100 years ago on the backs of such prestigious institutions of learning as DeVry University and the Columbia School of Broadcasting, deserves more for its children. For as Thomas Jefferson said long ago, and I quote, children are our future. Oh, and I never touched that slave girl. Unquote. But keep this in mind. While America may be losing intellectual ground on every major front in the world, we can take heart in one reassuring fact. We're still the world's biggest producer of pig entrails and medical waste.
Yes.
Oh, until next time, freedom fighters, read, write, and go to high school in Stalheim's Clavia Fjord, Norway. And that's today's dispatch from
the War on Brains.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Mort. Always very exciting.
You're welcome. And happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
It was 1 year ago today that Pentagon advisor Richard Perle made a boneheaded prediction about what Iraq would be like on September 22, 2004. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, has spent the entire night working on this, and we're going to listen to it right now.
A year from now, I'll be very surprised if there is not some grand square in Baghdad that is named after President Bush.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
A rocket slammed into a U.S. logistics base near the
Iraq. Five U.S. soldiers dead.
One of the most violent days.
Two soldiers were killed and another.
A day of violence that killed at least 25 people.
There were
three headless bodies on a road.
Roadside bombs.
One of the most intense mortar and rocket.
The latest in a series of bold strikes.
Several police commanders killed.
Security here appeared to spiral out of control.
Our military will stay as long as the stability of Iraq requires.
I know what I'm doing when it comes to winning this war.
That ought to comfort you.
When we get it right in Iraq, at some point in time, like you, I have been disgraced.
We're a nation of laws.
This vile display. There is no justification.
The incredible loss of life. We seek peace. War is forced upon us.
My answer is bring them on.
The only way to peace will I don't fall for that.
I hope we're not headed to war in Iraq. Nobody likes to see dead people on their television screens. I don't.
So righteous, so righteous. You're always so right. Go ahead and dream. Go ahead, believe that you are the chosen one.
If Saddam Hussein does not fully disarm for the safety of our people and for the peace of the world, we will lead a coalition to disarm him.
I thought we would find stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction, and we didn't.
The Bush administration claims that Saddam Hussein had links to the al-Qaeda terrorists.
I can't distinguish between the two because they're both equally as bad.
This is not a Bush administration orchestration aimed at winning support for a military action.
What the Vice President said was he has been involved with al-Qaeda.
We have no credible evidence that Iraq and al-Qaeda cooperated on attacks against the United States.
The black is white line.
Once again, this nation and all our friends are all that stand between a world of peace and a world of chaos and constant alarm.
And surgeons hammered central Baghdad.
A rocket attack on a convoy of U.S. soldiers.
Picked up body parts and put them into boxes.
I want to be the peace president.
One U.S. soldier killed yesterday in Baghdad.
I want to be the peace president.
The latest in a string of attacks.
I want to be the peace president.
The attack killed 9 civilians, including 3 children.
I'm a war president. I'm a war president. I'm a war president.
Well, that was very creative, Dan.
Nice work, Pashman.
Very good.
All right.
Lewis and Linda should be proud of their boy. When he has a little free time, they'll just make things.
All right. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Washington Monthly Magazine Editor-in-Chief Paul Glastris tells us about Florida Congressman Porter Goss, you on the phones, the presidential palm pilot, liberal agenda, and much more here on Air America Radio.
OK.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
They're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. A grand jury has handed up 32 indictments for an alleged scheme to make illegal campaign contributions through a political action committee associated with House Republican leader Tom DeLay. DeLay, who was not charged, accused the prosecutor of using the investigation for political purposes. A Travis County grand jury indicted three political operatives and eight companies alleging campaign finance violations related to corporate money spent in the 2002 legislative races. The corporate donations were made to Texans for a Republican majority, a political action committee created with the help from DeLay. John Kerry wasted no time responding to President Bush's assertions the U.S. was correct in going to war with Iraq. The president made his remarks at the United Nations, then met with Iraqi Prime Minister Ayed Alawi, who condemned the beheading of American hostage Eugene Armstrong. Kerry says the president is not dealing in the realm of reality.
This president avoided approaching this in responsible ways, and it's a tragedy. He now has an opportunity to lead and pull this together, but he seems to be in denial. He doesn't want to admit what even Prime Minister Alawi admitted yesterday. Terrorists are pouring across the border, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the Prime Minister of Iraq said.
Dr. Germ is going free. Rehab Taha, an Iraqi scientist, is one of two high-profile women detainees in American custody. Taha is known to have helped her country make weapons from anthrax. A Justice Ministry spokesman says the U.S. officials were in on the decision, but an American military spokesman says he knows nothing about the release. The Iraqi spokesman denies the move is linked to threats of kidnappers. Militants who abducted two Americans and a Briton are calling for the release of all female Iraqi prisoners. A car bomb attack in Baghdad leaves six dead and more than 50 injured. Authorities say many of those killed and injured were Iraqi National Guard applicants preparing their applications for guard service at a photocopy shop when the bomb went off. Another U.S. soldier has died while on patrol in eastern Afghanistan. That brings the number of U.S. deaths to three this week. American spokesman Major Scott Nelson says the soldier was killed in the Khas province close to the Pakistani border. The military already announced the mortar fire deaths of two U.S. soldiers earlier this week in neighboring Paktika province. The Archdiocese of Miami has agreed to pay nearly $3.5 million to settle 23 lawsuits by people who allege they were molested by priests. Church officials say the settlement is not an admission of guilt. You may remember him as pop singing sensation, but for some time, former Cat Stephen has gone by the name of Yusuf Islam. It seems Islam was on a United Airlines flight 919 from London to Washington. When his name came up on a government watch list, his flight was diverted to Miami and met by the feds. A spokesman for the Transportation Security Commission says he was interviewed and denied admission. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
We wanted to do this really cool promo for Stephen Lynch, comedian, songwriter, uber genius, and play a little of his music for you. But unfortunately, this is all we can give you without offending somebody. So if you'd like to hear the uncensored version, you can catch him September 28th as he debuts his new DVD live at the El Rey, live in our studios. Stephen Lynch, offensively on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy. Uncensored.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. The heat's got you saying, oh, grr. So you press the blue button on your dash for some fresh air. Phew, smells worse than a talking donkey. When I come back, I'll air out this moldy tale. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. If your AC hasn't been on for a while, chances are your vents are as green as Shrek's skin and are probably growing things that look like him, too. Pollen, dust, mold, and smog easily enter passenger cabins through the HVAC system. This causes musty odors that would make even Fiona sneeze and produces air inside your vehicle that could be 6 times dirtier than air outside. Protect yourself from Farquaad's evil pollutant spores by replacing your vehicle's cabin air filter. A fresh filter cleans the incoming air and removes allergens. Now that's a breath of fresh air. And yes, donkey, a happy ending. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Hmm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Cap, you recently lost it.
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, poets, prophets, guys who work at Dunkin' Donuts. I'd like to say a special shout-out to anyone who's been up all night and is sitting there looking at what is the last line of blow, saying, what's wrong with my life? Get some help. But thanks for listening to Air America. Yeah, and register to vote. I'd like to say hello to all the people listening to us abroad in all the many countries that people listen to us in.
Norway.
Ginger in England, Norway. Yeah. We got people in Japan. I just got an email from Germany. Welcome. We're happy to have you. Get your absentee ballots.
And especially the truckers. The truckers, we talked to, who was that, Tom, I think, last hour?
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, they're on the road.
Carting across. Yeah, they all seem to do, they keep their ear to the ground, you know. They all seem to do their own polling. You know, he's a roadie. He's setting up musical equipment and speakers, and he says that no one he's talked to is anywhere in the area of even thinking about voting for Bush for president. Yeah. A lot of them, he said, would like to see him gone in the worst of ways. I've been doing this every hour because I think it's necessary to engage our new listeners in our new cities because we welcome your emails. We want to hear from you. We always like to engage with our audience, and we do read them. And I assume this guy, I just want to make sure I reach out to him because this was an important email to me. I guess you don't read listener feedback, or you don't care, or Mark Maron does not listen. I have to pull the plug on this program. Now, this always disheartens us a little bit, but we also like to say goodbye to those people that we really don't care if they leave or not. I can't listen to the same idiotic chant, why don't they talk about the issues, we're fighting for our lives here. Maron is an idiot who needs new material. Well, I'd like to point out to you, nameless coward who writes emails but doesn't put his name on it, that we are talking about the issues and we are fighting for our lives here. But for you, if you're listening, if you were one of those people that's like, I hate this guy, I'm going to blast an email out to him because I don't like him and he's screwing up my morning experience for me, but then you just checked in again today to see if your email had any impact.
Why don't they talk about the issue? We're fighting for our lives here.
There you go. There you go. I guess that's my way of saying bye. See ya. Nice. Thanks for stopping by.
Interesting that he knows the entire phrase, isn't it?
Dude, we had such a good time with it at first, and it's just the nature of radio, you know? It's sort of, it's become a catchphrase. A lot of people know us by that
catchphrase. I think it should be on a T-shirt.
There are T-shirts available. I'm not sure where, though. Where are they available, Smarty Pants Larson? Do you have any? We have a link on our site to get the, why aren't they talking about the issues we're fighting for our lives here? And for those of you who don't know where that came from, we had a caller.
Yes.
You know, when I was, you know, going off, or me and Riley were having a conversation about whatever it is we talk about at times.
A little side issue thing.
You know, this guy just called up exasperated, called our associate producer, Brendan P.W. McDonald, and just like, why don't they talk about the issues we're fighting for our lives here? And Brendan's like, can I put you on the air? Please let me put you on the air. No! I don't want to go on the air. And then he calls back like weeks later and goes, this is stealing my line. He doesn't want to go about it. He doesn't want to get on the air, but he wants a little you know, shout out, a little kickback, a little something.
But see, this negative guy obviously doesn't realize that the why don't they talk about the issues based in fact. Mm-hmm. It's not something you made up. It's not a bit. This is what someone actually said.
These are what I like to call Marin bashers. These are Marin haters. Don't be a Marin hater.
We That's right.
can, but, you know, keep listening. But, you know, if you're going to shoot off the Marin hate, you know, we're going to respond to you in like. And this is another one. I assume this from a new listener who doesn't realize how the show works. Please, 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 please. Replace that uninformed Yahoo Mark Marin. Again, I covered this earlier. I'm sorry I'm doing it again. If you've been listening all 3 hours, thank you for listening. But I'm not uninformed. Could be a Yahoo occasionally, but not uninformed. He makes fun of his audience. Yes, silly. You're silly. And you're dumb, and I don't like you, and you're not informed either, just because I said something that you think that you knew that I didn't know. I probably know things you don't know. So, take that, silly. And about the cats, he goes on and on and on about his cats. Thank you for bringing that up, and my neuroses, which, thank you for bringing that up. I do have some problems, if that's okay with you. And also, I do have these cats. I captured the mother. We're getting her fixed. I've got a handle on that situation. It's been a long haul that a lot of my listeners have been enjoying throughout, except you, because you just tuned in and decided you didn't like me. You're a Marin hater, and I have no time for Marin haters. Does anyone really think he connects with anyone but himself? Yes. And you know what? I'm done connecting with you. I'm done with this. You know, I feel better for doing this. I really do, Mark Wright.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, every show, everyone who's ever had a mic stuck in front of their face and talked to people gets hate mail. I used to get hate mail back in the day from people who would say, listen, you blank, 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 I'm following you home, I know where you live, I know which train you take, and I'm going to kill you. To the point that they actually called the FBI in here once.
Really?
Yeah. Because there was a guy who actually was sending me threatening mail, and I didn't take, you know, I paid no attention to it.
It's got nothing to do with anything other than for some reason you crawled under that guy's skin.
Yeah.
You know, and it's same with this mail, and I know that, and I don't take it personally. Lord. It only affects me in the way that it would affect anybody who gets a letter that it's someone going, you suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not in a deep way. It doesn't ruin my entire day. It can ruin a couple hours occasionally, but we don't need to even waste any more time with it. What did your daughter give you for your birthday?
I don't know yet because my daughter would not let me open it until she gets home from school this afternoon. My daughter has a very strict way of looking at the order of things.
Mm-hmm.
And she figures, so she's not up. When I get up in the morning, mm-hmm. if I open the presents, you know, before she woke up, that would somehow throw things completely out of balance. So she cried like a baby to my wife about this last night when they came in after I had fallen asleep. So my wife said, please, this is serious. Don't open the presents. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, she woke up at about 2:30 this morning. And said, Daddy, you're not going to open the presents. So I said, no, I'll wait till you get home.
Poor kid.
My life is being ruled by a 7-year-old. But I love you, Viv, and I'm glad you got me birthday presents.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Yeah. And now my life is being ruled by cats.
Yes.
And, my birthday present is my wife is coming to town. I know what she gets me. My mom always calls me up and goes, Mark, your birthday's coming up. Please don't say how old you are because then people will know how old I am or at least be able to estimate it. And is there anything that you need? Is there anything I can get you? And I never know what the hell to say.
At this point, it's like, you know, whatever is good.
Yeah, I mean, I always ask for something practical. I'd like to be really surprised by something, you know?
Really? Pleasantly surprised by something?
I could use a car. If anyone, if I got any fans out there, you know, I've got cars in Los Angeles. I've got a 95 Toyota, but I could use one here. So if you want to give me a car, I'd love to have one.
And you can't get a tax deduction, but, hey, give it to him anyway.
So what do we know about this guy, Porter Goss, this guy that the Senate in a 4-3, was it a 4? 12-4, the Intelligence Committee, Senate Intelligence Committee.
Sent him to the full Senate.
Said it's okay. Pass him along. But our guy, Larry, who we just had on,
said Porter Goss is a partisan.
Larry
he didn't
Johnson,
do, yeah,
the didn't, CIA analyst.
Didn't distinguish himself much while he was in the House. He was head of the House Intelligence Committee for a period of time. And is generally seen as a partisan. We talked yesterday about the fact that Carl Levin, a senator from Michigan, questioned Porter Goss very closely about the issue of partisanship. And that's when Porter Goss let slip that maybe Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney had overstated the case for going to war in Iraq. Can
right.
you imagine?
Overstated? That's understating it.
Yeah. Sure is.
How about lied? How about lied about it? That was an amazing thing, too, about George Bush last night, is how efficiently and deeply these guys really commit to lying.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
This whole smug arrogance where it's the same thing where, you know, about the weapons of mass destruction and about the terror links when Cheney was like, after the intelligence report came out, that there really were no terror links, the 9/11 report came out.
Yes.
Which they commissioned, which they should respect. He's like, well, they don't know what I know. You know, I got secret information.
Yeah.
And Bush is like, well, you know, this is all guesswork, you know, but I know what's right and what's really happening. It's ridiculous. It's a fictional world that they live in.
I've seen and interacted with people that acted like that when I was in military school, where you had the whole idea of deniability, the whole idea that, you know, if you repeat a certain thing long enough, people will take it as gospel, no matter whether there's a kernel of truth in it. Doesn't matter.
Well, it's cheerleading. It's what a coach does, you know what I mean? It's like, it's all it is. It's a president and an administration, you know, telling the country a lie in order to maintain power and to maintain what they think is the spirit of liberty and freedom. It's certainly not the spirit of democracy. It's not doing their job and informing their public of what's really going on and being honest with them, which I think is what John Kerry will bring to the presidency.
Well, I think he's going to bring that, and he's going to bring an ability to achieve consensus on the world stage, which is going to be more and more important as the world stage continues to change. Mark, this is a different world that we're living in now, and I reflect on these things on a birthday. You start understanding, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have to go out in the hall and cover my head just in case there was a nuclear attack.
Yeah.
You know, we used to have drills. There used to be bomb shelters all over the place. Now we're looking at a very different world. We're looking at places in the world where people think that beheading folks is, good politics at a certain point. And we have to understand that America has to find its proper place on this world stage. And going to war in Iraq set that cause back probably a generation.
Unbelievable. We're going to have a guest after this break. Paul Glastry, who is the editor-in-chief of Washington Monthly Magazine, that we can address with we're going to talk about some of these Porter Goss questions. Maybe you can flesh that out for a little, because I'd like to learn a little more. Wouldn't you on Air America Radio in a minute?
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
You know college football. You want interviews with the top college coaches in the country. You want analysis from the very best in the business, and you want it now. Sirius is now offering college sports radio with the Sirius College Coaches Show. 3 hours of the very best analysis for Saturday's game with Coach Terry Bowden and legendary college announcer Jack Arute.
The Sirius College Coaches Show, 9 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern, Saturdays on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. He's
good
the
morning.
Birthday, the birthday boy.
Yeah.
It's got Kayla on the board, Smarty Pants Larson, Pete Evan McDonald, and Booth Cashman running around.
creating. He's not just running around. He's creating.
Air America Radio, broadcasting out of New York.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Morning Sedition. Here's the presidential Palm Pilot that, well, Ramon woke up like about a half hour ago and split. I guess he's all right. He's having problems. Here's the presidential schedule. 6:30 a.m. Wake up in New York. Stay on message. Kofi Annan, still my bitch. 7:45 a.m. Meet with the president of Pakistan. Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Tell him of all the unstable Islamic regimes that could blow up the planet, you're our favorite. 11:35 a.m. Speaker rally. King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. Assure them that the United States is committed to regime change in Prussia. And indeed, all of eastern Pennsylvania. 3:25 p.m. Aerial tour of damage from Tropical Depression Ivan, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. Have pilot point out which devastated areas are still undecided. 3:55 p.m. Receive briefing on storm recovery efforts, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. Snicker and promise them a huge downpour of federal aid. 4:50 p.m. Speak at a rally, Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Assure crowd that you would never call locally brewed Rolling Rock beer warm mule pee, like John Kerry did. 5:35 p.m. Speaker rally, Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. Note, tell crowd, if it were up to John Kerry, he would leave the Amish without electricity or modern appliances. 10 p.m. back in Washington, bedtime. Note, debate's coming up. Find out if hurricanes ever hit St. Louis. Yeah, here we go. What do you got? Okay, all right, that's fine. Right now on the phone, we have the editor-in-chief of Washington Monthly Magazine. He's talking to us from Bethesda, Maryland. Please welcome to the show Paul Glastree. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good morning.
We're doing pretty good. Now, it looks like Porter Goss is likely to be confirmed by the Senate as CIA director. Now, why is he bad? Why is he going to be a bad CIA director?
Well, you know, there's good and bad about Porter Goss. The good is the experience the man has. He's one of only two lawmakers with experience in intelligence. He'd spent several years as a case officer in the CIA. The bad, I would argue, is that the CIA has been rightly criticized as a place full of careerists who bend their analysis to please whoever's in power. And in the last year, that pretty much describes Porter Goss.
He is in
charge of a subcommittee in Congress that he had the power. He had a very, very good partner in the Democratic ranking member in his committee. Could have spent the last year or two really investigating the terrible intelligence failures that have gotten us into this mess. Instead, he became kind of a pipeline for White House spin and viciously partisan in a way he hadn't been before. And
Like in, well,
all of this at the same time that people were talking about him as possibly being chosen by the president for taking over this job, and apparently that vicious partisanship and unwillingness to investigate is exactly what got him the job.
Well, now, Paul Glastris, I'm sorry I mispronounced your name before. Do you have some examples of this vicious partisanship?
He was out there saying that 9/11 had a connection to Iraq long after people stopped saying that because it wasn't true.
Right. That was a Republican agenda point. They just kept hitting that thing.
Exactly. He, unlike the Senate, which is headed by a very conservative senator, the Senate Intelligence Committee, headed by a very conservative senator from Kansas, put out a report investigating the intelligence failures that, even among people who didn't think it went far enough, was at least a pretty good stab. Porter Gossett Committee did no such thing. No investigation of the intelligence failure of the Abu Ghraib situation. It just goes on and on. Nothing's come out of this committee. This at a time when we desperately need oversight from Congress. In fact, a lack of oversight from Congress is arguably what caused a lot of the problems.
Now, Paul Glastris, we heard Porter Goss the other day tell Senator Carl Levin and the Senate Intelligence Committee that maybe Condoleezza Rice and maybe Dick Cheney overstated the danger that Iraq posed prior to going to war. Was he just playing to a band he needed to play in order to get this gig, or what was going on there?
Yeah, I think Porter Goss says what he needs to say to get what he wants. And when defending the president and bashing efforts to get at the bottom of things fit his interests, he did that. Now he's got to win over a few votes on the to become CIA director. He'll say that. I mean, he knows how to play the game.
Mm-hmm. Now, he is also being talked about possibly to take over this intelligence czar job that the 9/11 panel recommended. Is that a good idea? Could he serve both, or will there ever be a national intelligence czar?
I don't think we'll know the answer to that for a while. I can't imagine it's going to happen between now and Election Day, but weirder things have happened. The president's plan is to have a kind of a figurehead national intelligence czar, and the House, with Porter Goss's help, is going along with that. Should he be put into the job of CIA director, of course he could get bumped up to the other job, but in either case will serve at the pleasure of the president.
Now, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. When Kerry is elected, do you think he'll appoint a different CIA director?
In as long as it takes to get out your question.
Good. Let's shift gears here. What does Kerry need to do and say between now and Election Day in your eyes?
I think Kerry will lose unless he can turn the national security issue to his advantage. And he's begun to do that in a series of speeches beginning last week.
Yeah, he looked good, too, didn't he? He looked solid, clear, focused.
Yeah, he did. It's very late in the day to do that, but he's done it, and there is a sense that a lot of people, even in this day and age, don't really make up their minds till the end. I think if he can do that, everything else falls into place. People aren't going to listen to your health care plan if they don't feel that you can keep the country safer than the other guy. What he's done, I think, rightly, is, and this is what the president has done to him, is fashion a frame his opponent based on character. The Bush administration has framed Kerry based on a simple line of flip-flopper.
Yeah,
which everything else emerges and into which all criticism goes. The Kerry campaign has said 1,000 different things about the President Bush without actually painting him as one thing or another. They've begun to paint him as one thing. They've begun to focus on a key character flaw, that he lives in a fantasy land.
That's for sure.
His own spin.
Yep, that's for sure.
And instead of just criticizing Iraq as the wrong choice, they're saying it's the result of this character flaw.
Well, I'm hoping it works. We got to go, Paul Glastris. I really appreciate you being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Mark and Mark.
You take care.
That's Paul Glashow, editor-in-chief of Washington Monthly Magazine.
Coming up, you on the telephones, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270, and you don't want to miss the liberal agenda here on Air America Radio.
It's beginning. There was dirt, water, and air.
And it was good. Once.
Planet Check.
Lights, camera, action.
Green Treks is all about telling stories that change the world.
That's Tim Schlitzer, president of Green Treks Network.
Our belief is a lot of stories that are being told about the environment aren't really ones that help change it as much as help put more fear in people's lives.
Think globally, act locally.
What people really act on is when they see somebody locally doing something.
Think the sun don't shine in Philly?
We just broadcast the story about a family who switched totally over to solar power in Philadelphia. And because they generate so much energy, their meter runs backwards.
After the story aired, folks were calling asking how they could do the same.
Most responses that we got were, I didn't know you could do that in Philadelphia.
Find them online.
GreenTreks.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. A headless body found in Baghdad today is in the hands of American authorities. It is feared the body may be that of Jack Hensley, who was abducted last week. A militant group claims that it killed Hensley. Iraq is promising to release a female Iraqi scientist known as Dr. Germ, but officials say they're not caving in to kidnappers' demands. Militants say they've killed two hostages and are threatening to kill a third unless all Iraqi female prisoners are let go. Another bombing in Baghdad targeting police recruits. A suicide attacker detonated a car bomb outside a photocopy shop where men were getting their National Guard applications ready. At least six died and dozens were hurt. The Archdiocese of Miami has agreed to pay nearly $3.5 million to settle 23 lawsuits by people who allege they were molested by priests. Church officials say the settlement is not an admission of guilt. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
I have a Pontiac Grand Am.
Oh.
I started getting this noise. I guess it would be a combination of a flute and a bass drum.
Perfect harmony. Car Talk. Weekends at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern on NPR Now 106. And noon on Sirius NPR Talk 107.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likuth with another Car Clinic Minute. We all know SPF's a must for sun worshippers everywhere. But there's someone else in your life who needs a new pair of shades. When I come back, I'll shed some light on the matter.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to RoyalPurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and RoyalPurple.com today.
We avoid the sun's damaging rays by using sunblock to protect our skin. But how's your family car taking in the heat? Oven-like temperatures can crack vehicles' vinyl and leather, fade cloth, bake foam padding, and crack or discolor paint. But don't smear on SPF 45. Try these tips. Park in the shade and use sunshades or reflectors in windshields and rear windows. Also, try vent visors that allow you to crack windows, rain or shine, which reduces cabin temperature. My favorite beat-the-heat solution? A car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Cool. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
Three past the hour, Mark Maron with Mark Riley, the birthday boy.
Yo!
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We are broadcasting from New York City. It is an amazing day. I just went out to the hallway into the other room to look out the window. Gorgeous.
Really?
You can see all the way to the end of Long Island.
Oh, man. Oh, that's right. Yeah, no clouds in the sky, right?
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. I love New York in the fall. Love it. I used to love Boston in the fall. We're piping into Boston, when, next week? Or is it start...
Soon come, as they say in Jamaica.
Yeah, I think we're going up into Boston. That'll be exciting. Right now...
Yeah, we're trying.
My name is Mark. I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
Thank you very much for being the only guy at the meeting. In Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering my counsel to my temporary sponsee, George W. Dude, you're on a bender, George. You're on a bender. You're off the map. You're in a dry, drunk wilderness licking the trees. So is this really the best time to be speaking to the United Nations? Getting up in front of the whole world, repeating your tired old lies about Iraq with your pants around your ankles? You've got ambition. I'll give you that, my friend. I can't think of anyone else who wants the whole world to clean up his mess. This is self-will run riot. I'll say, acting out, misery loves company, self-centered to the extreme, my friend. And you're trying to get everyone else to suck right down into your level? It's horrible. Well, maybe the world is tired of cleaning up your mess, buddy. Tired of you stumbling home at 3 a.m., stinking of gin and lies and petrodollars. Maybe the world is tired of crying itself to sleep, blaming itself, clinging to false hope. The world can't help you until you start helping yourself, pal. If the earth is your mother, why do you have to do this to her? Don't make me beg. Please. Please get to a meeting, George W. Get to a meeting. Remember, there's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbow. Keep the plug in the jug. You got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow. You're peeing on today. Think, think, think. Don't drink. Here we go. Calls.
Yeah.
866-303-2270. Randall in New Jersey, how are you?
Hi, Randall.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, all right.
Man. I'm a U.S. Army retired. I retired as a colonel in 2000.
Uh-huh.
I got myself two master's compliments of the U.S. military. One's in engineering, and the other's in military history.
Wow, all right.
And I did my master's thesis in small unit insurgency, specifically used Vietnam.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I still talk to people out in the field, and I did not need a national intelligence estimate to know what's happening in Iraq.
Okay, lay it out for us.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the things that people need to understand something is that, and this is Mao Zedong said this, and he said that the gorilla is the fish that swims in the ocean of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ocean is inhospitable, he cannot survive.
Right.
And that tells me that those people out there have support, and that support is widespread and is spreading.
Right.
Now, one of the things that we learned in Vietnam, and obviously we haven't learned something, and I fought the U.S. First off, the U.S. military did not make this mess. This whole mess was George Bush, and I voted for George Bush in 2000. Okay?
Right.
So I changed 180 degrees.
Yeah.
One of the things that you need to understand and occurred in Vietnam is if you kill one villager in that village and it's not justified, you lose that village.
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially, we are repeating the entire same thing. The structure of the society in Vietnam is essentially the same structure as a society that occurs in Arab countries. They have extended families. They have extended clans. The concept of taking artillery fire and taking planes and blowing people up, you lose that village, you lose that area, okay?
Right.
What we should have done, I was not in support of going to Iraq, but what we should have done when we went in there, we should have listened to Shinseki, should have put boots on the ground.
Right, 300,000.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a situation that is out of control. The New York Times ran a thing that said that we are going to retake those areas sometime before the elections. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the equivalent of telling Adolf Hitler during World War II, hey, guys, D-Day is going to occur such and such a time. I'm not going to tell you exactly where, but I'm going to, but it's going to be happening.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We told these people that it's going to happen. We have underestimated, we have a history of underestimating the Islamic people over and over again repeatedly.
Randall, it sounds to me like you're saying that we haven't learned a whole heck of a lot since Vietnam.
Unfortunately, the military serves basically at the pleasure of political leadership. Political leadership screwed up. But I'm telling you that the military tactics that we're using on the ground they're wrong. They're flat out wrong.
Well, thank you for calling, Randall. Very informative.
I appreciate that. Yeah, definitely. Extremely informative.
Scary picture. I had not really thought about, the way tribalism, in Vietnam. I don't know enough about that stuff. But the extended clans, extended families, and just see, which is also what we've talked about here, is one of the reasons they're having a hard time training Iraqi police forces is because, you know, that's their cousin.
Yeah. And the idea that if you, you know, if you strafe one village, you don't just lose that village. You lose the families of people that lived in that, those who may live in other places, and suddenly they become anti-American.
Yeah, I never even thought of it that way. And he was in Vietnam, this cat. Chris in Queens, what's going on?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, all right.
Good show.
Thanks.
I just want to make a little comment on how Kerry can win the election.
Okay.
Tell us.
Okay.
We'll get it right to him.
When the camera's on Bush and when he's getting ready to speak, before he goes in, he has some white powder on his sleeve. He just brushes it and white dust appears on the sky. And that same look that Bush had in Florida.
Yeah.
With the dove's eye, that's how he's going to look at the camera when he sees the white dust. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Wow. That's deep, Chris.
Is he talking about blow? Or?
I'm not sure. I hope he's not talking about anthrax.
Anthrax or some sort of secret special dummy dust?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, the rules of the debate, we already went over those. We don't need to do them again. We might be able to do them again. Let's take another call. Harriet in Illinois, how are you?
Oh, good morning.
Hi, Harriet.
Hi. I'm calling because our congressman said in the congressional record that he and Porter Goss are in the CIA now. Then he denied it. We know that our guy helps the Pentagon on weekends, and I was wondering if your listeners or experts know, are there spies in Congress? Are this Congress and the CIA intermingled?
Oh, wow. I don't know. You mean your congressman is saying that there are active spies who are on duty for the CIA within Congress, and they're actually doing spy work?
Well, I can... Maybe I should read what he said in the congressional record.
What's his name?
He said, this is June 23rd congressional
record. Are you paraphrasing someone paraphrasing?
No, she's quoting.
There are only three current members of Congress who work with the CIA. Our chairman, the gentleman from Florida, Mr. Goss, the author of this amendment, the gentleman from Connecticut, Mr. Simmons, and me, who is detailed to the CIA from Navy Intelligence, unquote. Then he told the newspaper, no, the congressional record made a typo and that what was in the present tense should have been in the past tense.
For the last guy.
For all of them. So he was saying they really used to be in the CIA, but we don't totally buy it because we know he does military work on weekends. When he ran the first time, he didn't tell people that he had been in the CIA from 1991 till 95 or so, which he admits. And I know that, you know, military are not supposed to be in Congress yet. I believe there are military Congress people. And I'm wondering, you know, are there spies already in the CIA? Is Goss involved now? I don't think that's appropriate. If you ever have an expert on who could comment, I'd be very interested.
Okay, well, we had some people on earlier, and we'll definitely look into whether or not there are active spies for America in the American Congress.
Yeah, and I don't think Goss would say. Now, remember, you have to separate the idea that there are members of Congress who get access to intelligence that others of their colleagues do not because they belong to the two intelligence committees. Or possibly to armed services. Porter Goss, as chair of the House Intelligence Committee, is going to be privy to certain information that somebody that's sitting on Ways and Means may not know.
Because he's on the intelligence
committee. Because he's on the intelligence committee, he gets intelligence briefings periodically.
That's your question, man?
Sure.
He's a spy. Are you
sure.
With the CIA, Riley?
No, man. I was recruited, but no.
All right.
I turned
it is your birthday, right? That's true.
That is true, and it was 1 year ago today. That who was that said
Richard
that,
Pearl.
Yeah, Richard Pearl said the whole thing about the statue for Bush.
Yeah, we're going to... can we go out on that, Chris? Yeah, I think it's number 5, isn't it? Was it? The number... Yeah, 5.
And a year from now, I'll be very surprised if there is not some grand square in Baghdad that is named after President Bush.
NFL Radio, Channel 124, is all football all the time. Hear breaking NFL news and scores 24 hours a day, along with exclusive interviews.
Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
Commentary and analysis from top players and coaches. All-star staff includes Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Cam Reeves, John Riggins, and Keyshawn Johnson. When it's the NFL you want, it's the NFL you can't get. NFL Radio, 124.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one.
And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from Matt and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Okay, it's 45 past the hour. We're taking calls, 866-303-2270. But before we get on the phone with you, let's just I want to go over this again, Mark Riley.
Yes.
That three men with close ties to U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay were indicted on Tuesday along with eight companies for illegal fundraising activities in a political action committee formed by DeLay.
Yes.
This was when they, how do you say it, gerrymandered the
gerrymandered
Texas,
the 2000, yes, in 2002. And that, of course, gave the Republicans a majority in the Texas House for the first time since Reconstruction, which, of course, goes back to the late 1860s. This was a situation, by the way, Mark, when a number of Democratic members of the Texas House actually ran to the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
To keep, from having a quorum so that they could do, so the Republicans could do the deed. Now, what these indictments say, is that, a group of these individuals and these corporations violated Texas law by funneling contributions, illegal contributions, I might add, to certain Republican candidates for the Texas legislature.
So you need a little money to pull this scam off, and these are the companies that did it. Sears and Roebuck and Company, Oklahoma energy firm Williams Companies, restaurant chain Cracker Barrel Old Country Store, a unit of CBRL Group Incorporated, Bacardi, Westar Energy.
Yep.
You like that?
And I've never really bonded with anything called Cracker, but, you know, that's just me.
I've eaten at Cracker Barrel before.
Yeah, you
when
said
I'm on the
that
road.
You go for the biscuits and gravy.
But
right?
That, no more. But
no
I,
more.
I could have assumed that they would be part of this. They're clearly part of it, because sometimes you'll eat there, and then you'll eat some biscuits and gravy, and then you go ahead and get the sausage, and and you have some eggs, and then, you know, they have all the little sort of cute kind of down-home sort of decor, and you know, there are times where I've eaten at Cracker Barrel and actually taken Jesus into my heart for a few minutes.
Well, what these people were trying to do, the people and the corporations, because corporations are in fact made up of people. We try to make them sound like they're just these automatons. They're actually made up of people too. But what they tried to do, according to the Travis County DA, whose name is Ronnie Earle, is, and this is a quote here, an outline of an effort to use corporate contributions to control representative democracy in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember that Texas is, what, the third biggest state in the country. This is not not to slight anybody in Rhode Island or anything, but this isn't Rhode Island, okay? This is a big state with a lot of people, and it has produced our current president.
Yes.
Okay? Texas has got a fair amount of clout. It produces a heck of a lot of whatever oil is still domestically produced in this country.
And refines a lot of oil, I think, too, there.
Yeah, and see, what happens is, and Texas is one of the states, unlike, for example, New Jersey, which has a very powerful governor and a very weak legislature. Well, in Texas, it's upside down.
Right.
The governor doesn't have as much power. The legislature has a great deal of power, power for appointments, power to deal with land use, a host of issues that the legislature has to pass through or has to vet in order for things to get done in the state. So for the Republicans, it was important that they control the Texas House of Representatives.
And Karl Rove had a lot to do with some of that early divvying up of things.
Yeah. And see, what I think a lot of people don't understand about this is a sitting United States congressman who created a political action committee specifically for the purpose of influencing state elections. See, it's one thing if you're trying to deal with your colleagues on some level, okay?
Yeah.
In other words, if he was doing something that would help elect more Republican congressional representatives in Washington,
yeah,
that's one thing. But Tom DeLay understands very clearly how important it was for Republicans to control the state
apparatus.
Right, right. Okay. And by the way, you know how this has a very direct impact? The death penalty. Because guess who ends up having to pass on the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles, who are the people that pass on the death penalty?
Right.
The governor and the legislature.
Yeah, and Bush, when he was governor, he always killed whoever was there to be killed.
Absolutely.
Let's take a quick call. Ed in Denmark.
Ed, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
3 o'clock in the middle of the day. I'm calling you from Middelfart, Denmark. I know that's not a joke. Just so I thought you guys would like to know how far your signal is getting.
We appreciate it.
Nice to hear you listening.
Yeah, listen, a couple of things. First thing to grown-up Mark, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it wasn't a great, you knew right away who I was talking to.
Huh?
But anyway,
I guess I'm the child.
He's the child, Mark.
I'm immature, Mark.
You're a child, Mark. We all love you. They ain't a child. You always have to have a grown-up around. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that UN thing because yesterday it was the International Day of Peace, which is a day that was marked by a resolution on the UN where all countries in the world are trying to hold a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And this was institutionalized a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm.
It was just interesting that on that particular day, the 21st of September, every year this is celebrated, that Bush, you know, goes up there and he gives his fire and brimstone, holy roller speech that he did yesterday.
And he didn't even acknowledge it.
Not a word about this effort that, you know, supposedly the whole world is, or all the governments have signatures to the UN. Are supposed to push for.
Interesting point, Ed. Thanks a lot for calling. I had no idea about that, did
Me
you?
Me neither.
Tell the child to go in the other room while the grown-ups are talking. Mature Mark. What is that? We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
NFL Radio, Channel 124, is all football all the time. Here breaking NFL news,
and scores 24 hours a day, along with exclusive interviews.
Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
Commentary and analysis from top players and coaches. Our all-star staff includes Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Dan Reeves, John Riggins, and Keyshawn Johnson. When it's the NFL you want, it's the NFL you can't get. NFL Radio 124.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Put this thing down. Thank you for all the love. It's 55 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo.
The birthday boy today.
And thanks for all the emails wishing me a happy birthday. I really appreciate all of them.
And all these great emails about, thank God for your show. I sit here at work and I am forced to watch Fox News. I turn the sound off of Fox News and listen to the King of the Morning Shows. Morning Sedition. You guys rock. Oh, one more thing. You make my drive home from work easier to deal with. I work the graveyard shift. Thank you, Rob. You're welcome. Hey, Mark Maron. I've been listening to the show from just about the beginning. And I have to say, what the hell is with the idiot who calls you uninformed? Is he kidding me? You're both entertaining, well-informed, down-to-earth, open-minded, and compassionate. Thank you, Jessica. Happy birthday, Mark Riley. That's one.
Thank
Two,
you.
Mark, pardon my French, but can I say this? I don't think so. It's still French. I think she just basically says, screw that. Who wants to pull the plug on you? There's no accounting for poor taste in this world. Mark, don't listen to all the liberal haters, meaning haters of liberals. We all love and appreciate you both. And I've heard that ants are allergic to chalk. Oh, that's from the ant thing yesterday. If that's any help for your ant problem, thank you very much. I will channel that to my wife, who after I said that a listener suggested putting the cat food in some water, surrounding it by a moat so the ants won't get in, she went, you told him about my ant thing? I'm taking a look at the new issue of Jest magazine. Go to Jest.com. There's a funny thing in there. The Banana Republican parody is very funny. I got moving away from the mic. My cat, John Marshall, who writes for the magazine, also writes for Tough Crowd, and he sent it over to me. It is pretty funny. You should check it out. It's the first time I've seen that magazine. What do you got over there, Mark Riley? You got something?
I just got to keep up the good work. If you're not pissing somebody off, then you're not doing your job.
That's right.
Sign Joe.
There's not at least a couple of people out there saying, that guy's an ass, then you really haven't made your impact in the world. I don't know if we can say this one.
Go ahead, say it.
No, why do I got to say it?
You want me to say it?
I love you guys in a completely non-homosexual way, though. I don't do man ass. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not my thing. Have a great day.
Now, that's somebody. I wonder if that's somebody who's working the graveyard shift. That sounds like somebody's driving home, not on their way to work.
I don't know, but our man asses are almost out of here. All right. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. One, to protest Cat Stevens being detained by airport security, call up oldie stations and request songs from his heavy Islamic period. Two, devise presidential debate format that isn't so confrontational. Three, forge damaging memos about Kerry. Leak them to Fox and wait for them to misreport your forgery. Genius! Four, protest satellite photos of hurricane damage sites for violating the privacy of alligators and manatees. Fine, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, you don't think the Republicans can stage a hurricane whenever they want? Wake up, man. End quote. There you go. What do we got tomorrow, Riley?
Man, we got a great day today.
It was. It turned out great.
We got 5 seconds to focus on today, and today has been a whole hell of a lot of fun for me. A good birthday I've
had
so far.
Happy birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, election reform. After the Florida debacle, how is it that things have gotten even worse? Florida, Colorado, and how honest elections are in jeopardy. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Matt Ray.
You too, Riley.